Meeting to order is the Oceana Community Services District. Today is Wednesday, May 14th, 2014. It is 6:33 p.m. Marie, can I get a roll call?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
All directors are present. If, District Legal Counsel is here, if you'll join me in the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll move on to item number four, which is the agenda review. Ms. Angelo approached me prior to the meeting to see if we could move some things around. She was suggesting that item number eight, which are the board of directors and outside committees, that we just have a more comprehensive review at the next meeting. Does anybody have any problem with that? Okay, so we'll take that off. Item number eight will be taken off. She also suggested that we move the utility items, which are items number 11. There's three will serves, that we move those to the position that item number eight was in. Does anybody have any concerns or objection to that?
Nope. I move we approve the agenda as modified.
All right. I have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Marie, can I get a roll call vote?
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
And Director President Guerrero?
Yes, that would pass by a motion and a vote of 5-0. Move on to item number five, and I will announce at the beginning of the agenda that business item 10A, we will have a PowerPoint presentation by Mr. Ogren, and then we will open it up to public comment at that time. So probably the easiest way to do it would be to change public comment, just have it at A and B. Rather, and have two sessions of public comment there, so that'd be a little bit different. So we'll move on to item number five for public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment for items not on the agenda?
My name is Martin Meltz. I am an advocate for the homeless across SLO County, and I'm presenting you, for your awareness, what's called a community service card. It's prepared under the auspices of Benefits Arch, which networks among service providers, meets regularly at Department of Social Services. The cost of these cards, you can get, I believe, 500 of them for $100, 1,000 for $173. The printer is on the card. The thought is to, instead of giving out money to panhandlers, give out these cards listing all of the services across SLO County to those people who are looking for assistance. There's a major emphasis across SLO County coming forward, which is to try to get people who are in need of help and are looking for help into case management to deal with this problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meltz. The next request I have is from Jeff Pinack for public comment. Good evening, Jeff.
Hi, everybody. Jeff Pinack, resident of Oceano.
One second, Jeff. Marie, could you restart the time?
Sorry.
Thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Jeff Pinack, resident of Oceano, and board. Nice to see you again. Haven't been around for a while. SlowSurfRider.org. Please go on our website. I'm here speaking as a resident of Oceano tonight, not as any officer of Slow Surfrider. But go and look at Know Your H2O, and go and look at Ocean Friendly Gardens. Two of Surfrider's efforts to do the right things with water, as I'm going to talk about right now, which is what we need to do, is the right things with water. We can no longer use 1950s mentality and put 5 million gallons a day of effluent, I call it effluent, it's fresh water with nutrients, we can no longer dispose of and get rid of that resource. It is a resource. If we use it as a resource, it will pay us back many times over. That pipeline that goes out into the ocean right now, 600 yards offshore or so, it's about 3/4 of a mile or so, is and has been and continues to spew out our fresh water out into the ocean now daily. Every minute as we speak, there's fresh water being wasted. That we need to immediately begin to review how to pipe that water inland, either up the Oro Grande Valley, up near Lopez Lake, and or up to Napomo, to the Mesa, and pond it. It doesn't need to be treated to tertiary to pond. You can pond secondary treated water, and the nutrients will feed plants, animals, and everything that starts to grow near and around and on that pond. As that pond will accept water into the groundwater table. It will seep in. It will replenish our aquifers. You can also draw water off of that to, i.e., replenish the Rio Grande Creek and have it, and that will increase salmon habitat. All the way around, it's a winning situation that requires a minimal investment of piping. Case in point, Paso Robles, I'm sure everybody's read in the paper that they have realized that they're sending their water down the Salinas River, and it's replenishing the aquifers in Monterey County. They're now going to build a pipeline and send it upriver and replenish their aquifers. Water emergency in Paso Robles. Well, let's do it here before we have a water emergency, and let's start moving in that direction as quickly as possible. How much time I got?
19 seconds.
Okay. So I encourage everybody to look in that direction and to be thinking in that positive way, because this is not a new idea. It's a proven concept. You can go and look at the Arcata sewage treatment plant in Arcata, California. It's a ponding situation. There's absolutely no ocean outfalls, no waste. It goes right back into the ground.
Thank you,
Mr. Napomo's doing it right.
Thank you, Jeff. I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening, and before you start my time, Mr. Guerrero, I'd like to actually do public comment for just 1 minute and reserve the remainder for the rest or later in the evening. There's a lot of new people here. Maybe they don't know that you only allow 6 minutes of public comment for the whole evening from any one
person. It is in our agenda. You can go ahead and use 1 minute now. And that's fine. Reserve
right,
the
I
remaining
just wanted
five.
To
that's fine, Julie.
Explain why I'm asking for
okay.
just 1 minute.
Right.
And what I'd like to speak about in my 1 minute is some inequitable treatment I've been receiving from the district. It's gone on for some time, but today in particular, I have a glaring example. And this morning, I sent an email to Marie McGrath, your district temporary administrator, or whatever her position is right now, and it says, "Hello, Marie. I have developed a countywide salary analysis for the board to consider tonight. Something like this should have been included in the staff report for item, and I left off 10A. Please see that they all have copies, and please make some available for the public. Feel free to contact me with any questions you may have. Thanks, Julie Tacker." And I attached a analysis that I did that I will submit to you, because I don't believe Ms. McGrath has provided copies for you.
Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Guerrero. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. A bit of a deja vu this evening. Perhaps you remember June of 2011. The then district board hired a general manager, Tom Gieselin. Heck, Bob Blair was here that night, I believe. Tom Gieselin was handpicked, virtually a blind hire. He was a knight riding in on a white horse to save this district. You must remember. He was from a friendly neighboring community. And Tom Gieselin was politically connected. You all remember that, I'm sure. He was given the keys to the kingdom, an inflated salary beyond reason, a long-term deal, multiple years, huge severance package in the contract, full bennies. There was no physical clearance. I don't think he got a writing sample. No probationary period. There was an overall lack of transparency in the hiring process. And at the end of the day, the whole situation was enabled by, of all folks, your district legal counsel. You must remember Molly Thurman, Chase Martin, Paul Hyatt and Conley. Carte blanche. Tom Giesen was given carte blanche. Anything you want, win, lose, or draw. Well, ladies and gentlemen, deja vu. We've heard the same old crap before. Collateral damage from Tom Gieselin is still ongoing, as you probably know, and the district has become a mark. A mark. Why would anybody make the same mistake again? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening for matters not on the agenda? All right. We'll close public comment. We'll move.
There's one more.
I'm sorry, sir. I apologize. I didn't see you stand up.
Just really quickly, Dane Sensor Oceano. I know that this spends, I think, I don't know what the estimate was, millions of dollars on stopping the dust here because it's a big concern. Lo and behold, 3-4 on Pier Avenue here to the entrance to the dunes, your dust picker-upper or sand picker-upper in the morning comes down Pier Avenue, and lo and behold, the massive clouds of dust follow it. Now, for someone who's trying to spend $2 million on keeping the dust down in this county, and the county vehicle, whoever owns it, I don't know, Oceano's in charge of it, is blowing up massive amounts of dust in the air every day, I would think that maybe that machine needs some water to calm the dust down if there's a dust problem. Every day. And that dust goes and sits on people's lawns, sits on people's houses, on their cars, and every day it's a cleaning process. So for a district or a town that's trying to stop the dust, I would think you want to get a machine that doesn't create the dust. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment this evening? Did I miss any? Okay. We'll close public comment at this evening. Item number six, we do not have any special presentations. Item number seven, Sheriff's South Station. Is there a report from the sheriffs this evening? Good evening.
This thing is really sensitive. Good evening, President Guerrero, members of the board. I'm Sergeant Jay Wells, representing the Sheriff's South Station, speaking on behalf of Commander Donovan today. Just a brief report for you this evening. In the last 30 days, the Sheriff's Office has received 1,121 calls for service requests through our dispatch. Those are all calls that come in through our 911 dispatch or by private call, composing of medical aids and also law enforcement response. By the numbers, 24 theft reports in that time period, 28 drug-related arrests, 20 arrest warrants were served, about 40 other miscellaneous reports, and 16 assault reports. With the increase in tourism traffic and the weather that we have been experiencing here lately, we're on an uptick. Still, our biggest concern is thefts from unlocked vehicles, so I caution the community to lock up your belongings, keep things out of direct view so that you don't become the victim of a crime. That's still our number one thing that we have a difficult time stopping because people are careless with their own belongings that they have so much value in. So I'll answer any questions if anybody has any questions.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm choosing my questions very carefully tonight. Could you give us a little bit of an update on what is happening on, I think it's Horizon Court. There's been some problems with who owns the sidewalk and the use of the sidewalk and mass vehicles on that.
That's something I'll have to look into. I don't have any direct knowledge of that, but I'll certainly look into it for you.
Responded to a structure fire upon Napomo Mesa. We arrived there first, put the fire out, and then we responded to a structure fire in Pismo at the pizza parlor, and we took care of that incident also. And then also there was a significant accident out on the dunes where a family was riding an ATV and a Humvee backed up over on top of them. And we had off-duty firefighters assist with getting the family back home into Sacramento and stuff like that. So everybody's good. Family's good. That's all I have.
Well, thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question. The fire that you responded to in Napomo, was CDF doing something else at that time, or was that their jurisdiction? Or
I think they were coming back from Santa Maria or someplace.
Okay.
Due to a trauma call or something
okay.
of that nature.
Just curious, because
I'm not certain.
That's pretty good you got there and got the fire out.
With these wildfires that are going, we've seen in the news around the state, do we have a strike team that's going to go? Or
we had a conference call today with all the county fire departments throughout the county, and we took an inventory of what resources are available for response, and it sounds like we'll be going down south sometime soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Karen? Chief, how come there were so many calls from Oceano out to the, was it just stuff on the beach, or was it up on the mesa? Because I know I saw the trucks run a couple of times up on the mesa.
You know, we ran 10 automatic aid calls into the mesa area, and those calls typically come out of the station.
Yeah.
I'm not certain exactly what type of calls they were. You know, I could research that for you if you would like.
That's okay. It just seems kind of excessive to have that many automatic mutual aid calls that we get no compensation for. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, thank you. Nice to meet you, Chief Stephan.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce that correctly, Stephan?
I'm sorry?
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Stephan, yeah.
Stephan.
Yeah, I'm just an old dog with a new collar.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. All right. The next one is OCSD Operations, and I see Mr. Marcino's here. Good evening, Tony. And actually, I do have a question. There was a comment in public comment about the machine sweeping the street, I think, that's creating a lot of dust. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, that would be State Parks. They maintain that ramp right there. State Parks has their own equipment, street sweepers. So most likely that is State Parks or a county equipment that we've seen on the pier.
Do you mind checking with them, and maybe you can get back with Mr. Sensor and let him know whose machine that is and see if they can add some water to their sweeping process or something?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll look into it.
We had one today come down my street in York and the side streets and stuff, and I think it's county operated.
Okay. I'll look into it, and I'll get his information. Give him a call.
Thank you very much, Tony. Okay. Please continue.
So, good evening, Board. All right. Last month, we produced 22.23 acre-feet of groundwater. We received 39.76 acre-feet of surface water. As of this month, we've pumped 15 acre-feet of water, and we've received 19.21 acre-feet. Last time we spoke, we've done 14 work orders, 4 USAs. We've had 11 customer service calls. We have sewer cleaned 11,816 feet of sewer main. Currently working on our consumer confidence report, our CCR. I got the rough draft almost complete. It's about 90% complete. As for past projects, your MS4 program, that is your collection system permit that we have. Right now, the Central Coast Water Board has reviewed it and decided to move forward with the recommendation to the state board. So we should be hearing back, hopefully, on removing us from the MS4 program here within the next few weeks.
Congratulations.
Your microphone's off now.
As for the emergency generator that we've inspected, all the information I've gathered, I've submitted to DPSI for an electrical engineer approval before it comes back to the board. Just want to make sure everything's in place before we even purchase some, and we'll get the longevity out of it. As for the pictures you see right there, you see the root intrusion. It's the black and white pictures. You can see the severity of the root intrusion that we have in our sewer system. Also, there's a picture of a cleanout that is 4 feet below grade in a sand area. It was all sand. The 4 years? It's been clean more recent than that?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. You're saying past 8 years, 6, 8 years, 10 years. I would have to agree with you just by the pictures of the root intrusion. That one root right there you see was in one manhole. So it takes quite a few years for something like that to grow.
It does. I'm glad that you guys are doing it. I think we've discussed before, Cambria got hit with around $250,000 fine because of a backup for lack of maintenance just recently.
So this initial go-around is going to take longer than I ever anticipated, just because of the manholes we're finding they're paved over. The manholes that are not visible, you got to locate, they're not on the maps. So we're getting it all corrected. So the initial first year, after that, it'll be a lot smoother.
Is there a way to measure the flow to determine the benefit of the jetting that you're currently doing?
There is. I can look into that.
I don't know if you're already doing it. If you're not, I don't want to add.
I'm currently not doing measuring the flow of our wastewater. But there is ways to do that. And I could look into it and see what the cost is. And then also for sewer laterals, this is going to be coming to you guys here in the near future. I've spoke with the county on that, Steve Hicks. It's basically up to the board on how we implement it. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a near future item on the agenda.
Okay.
That was one of the questions the Sewer and Water Committee had for me.
Does anybody have any questions for Tony? Anything else, Tony?
That'll work.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Tony. Keep up the good work. We're moving on to what was item 8 is now number item 11, which is the Old Avocado Ranch utility items A, B, and C. There were staff reports regarding these. This was brought back on this. I do have a request for public comment on 11A from Mr. Senna. Where'd he go?
He's right there.
Oh, there he is, Bill. Good evening,
Bill
sir.
Bill Senna from Oceano. Sorry, I kind of dozed off over there. It's been real quiet, so I just wanted to comment on this old avocado ranch. One of the concerns I have was the original plan didn't have any streetlights, and I just talked to Casey a minute ago, Casey O'Connor, who assures me that they'll put streetlights in on this addition. And Casey's a great guy. I don't think how you can do much better than Casey. But I just wanted to make sure you did put streetlights in the plan. So.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other public comment on item number 11? Okay. There were staff reports on this. Is Casey here? Oh, there he is. He showed up.
I want to ask Mr. Sennell a question.
Okay.
Sir, when the first phase of Old Avocado Ranch went in, Was there a street light that was removed from around your property, sir?
Yes.
Yes,
there was.
And was that replaced when that development was put in? And were you assured that it would be replaced?
Well, I know that the district provides street lights. We've had a lot of vandalism in the area.
Can you speak into the mic?
I didn't see anything in black and white.
Bill, can you speak into the mic? And thanks.
It keeps it awake.
We're just trying to get you your calisthenics going back and forth.
I was led to believe that the streetlight would be replaced, but it never has been.
Okay. So maybe we can work on that jointly as we work through the next coming phases with the developer.
Well, at one time the district appropriated the money for it, but it disappeared. So go back with history and you'll find some.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senna. Moving on to item number 11A, I see Mr. O'Connor's here. This is his project. We did speak on the phone. This has been brought back. Is there any further board discussion, or does Mr. O'Connor have anything we want to add? There was a report on this. Good evening, Casey.
Good evening, Board. After some brief conversations today, I can assure you that there will be street lights put in, not a light. I did talk to planning staff today, Stephanie Fuse, before I came to try to get a little direction. Since it is a private drive, Public Works has little to say about it, but I told Stephanie the concerns of the board, and she said that she would work with us to figure out aesthetically and location where we could have street light. After speaking with one director, we will make sure that it is plural and not singular.
Bent Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And Marie, if you could just have the minutes reflect that Mr. O'Connor promised street lights.
It's in parentheses. I'm holding them to
plural.
It.
Okay.
And it's on tape.
Plural. Thank you.
It's plural.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. We'll move on to item 11B, which is the Loringer Project for Fire Restoration. I'm trying to find the... it's on McCarthy Avenue. Okay, so it's not within 500 feet of my house.
Is it?
Okay.
It's not 500 feet from your house.
McCarthy? Where is McCarthy? Hold
McCarthy's
on.
McCarthy's down by the beach.
You live on the island?
Down by the beach. No, I don't live on the island.
You live on the Strands?
No.
Get busy.
Oh, then if there's no other discussion, I will move to approve.
Second.
All right. Marie?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, carries by a motion, by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to item number 11C, which is the Mid-State Properties on Air Park Drive.
This is just an extension of a will serve letter?
Yeah, that's already been granted because of their lot split.
I move we approve it.
Second.
All right, Marie?
Who seconded?
Ms. Blackburn.
Thank you. Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. And that would carry by a vote of 5-0 as well. Move on to the item number 9, which is the consent agenda, review and approval of minutes and cash disbursements. Is there a motion? Oh, I do have public comment listed. Okay.
Comment.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're taking public comment. It is on the agenda. All right. We'll open it up to public comment. I didn't have any slips for it. Ms. Tacker, good evening.
I'll take 1 minute if I could. And my biggest concern is the Fugro. And I'd like an explanation of what the Fugro warrant is for. So I welcome any comment.
All right. Any other public comment this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All right. Marie?
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. The motion carries by a vote of 5-0. Move on to item number 10, and since we're having public comment, as I announced earlier, we'll take public comment for 10A, and then we'll take public comment for 10B after 10A is considered. The first one I have is, there's no particular order, it's just the last order I got.
President Guerrero, yeah. I thought we were going to have Mr.
Ogren
do his presentation, and
thank
then
you for reminding me.
Comment.
Yes. So we'll turn the floor over to Mr. Ogren. He has a brief presentation. Do you need to turn out the lights, Mr. Ogren?
Let's stick on the
perhaps we could have you use the microphone.
Let's stick on
the I should have known not to touch it already, right?
It's a live mic.
Yeah.
Is it possible to make that larger so that people can see that? I have the AGP guy coming forward. Maybe
we got
can,
the tech service on.
Right. We're making them work tonight.
Well, as they're doing that, President Guerrero, I can probably start. go a little bit slow because a lot of times PowerPoints are actually for the presenter to remember what they're going to talk about. In any case, President Guerrero, members of the Board of Directors, staff, legal counsel, and public, my name is Paula Ogren. Thank you for having me here today. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with your board and really want to start off by thank you for considering me tonight. A little bit about my background. So the PowerPoint that I've put together provides some of the summary key points of my resume and my experience, the knowledge that I've gained through the years. And so the PowerPoint really is to do a little bit of a summary of that experience. And then I'll move into where I see the knowledge gained can be value to the district in the coming years. And then I wrap it up with a few points that if, in fact, your board chooses to select me, some of the issues that I think we'll be addressing in the first 90 days. It's always good in these situations to, and I think they just call themselves Glenn Burdett today. But in total, that was about 3.5 years of experience in the CPA industry. And then in January of 1988 is when I joined the management team for the then County Engineering Department, now the County Public Works Department. And in those early years from 1988 to 1997, I started off, because of the CPA background, I started off as a financial manager, and right away I started working on special districts and started working on special districts rate analysis. And in the early years, one of my major projects was a reorganization of special districts in Cayucas, where there was two county special districts and there's two private purveyors, and the purpose was to help compliance with surface water treatment regulations. So we reorganized the county special districts for the purpose of being able to develop a water treatment plant and provide treatment services for the entirety of Cayucas, including to the two private entities. And that particular reorganization was my first experience in the early years with going through the LAFCO process and working on special districts issues with LAFCO. One of the noteworthy points of that particular reorganization is that with the implementation of the surface water treatment regulations, the two private purveyors in Cayucas did not have the opportunity to utilize Department of Public Health funding to help build the treatment plant. But through the reorganization, since we built the whole treatment plant and then they just became a customer, we were able to effectively get that good financing, the Department of Public Health financing, for the entirety of the community. Early in those years, then 1992, is when the state water project started moving forward. And so I was part of the state water project team working specifically on financial aspects of state water. And that first experience in working on a water resource project then is what caused my career to transition away from the finance and accounting, although not totally, but to start moving into project management. And so I was working on a number of capital projects by the time I left the county in 1997, including some of the early work on the Lopez seismic remediation project. In 1997 then, I moved back into the private industry, and for the following 4.5 years, I worked for two different local engineering firms, Cannon Associates first, and then the Wallace Group second, over that 4.5 year period. The move to Cannon was because at that time, Mike Cannon, who I'd known since college, was looking to diversify his firm into government. He was predominantly working on oil and gas and private development at that time. And so he wanted to diversify and expand into the government sector. And I came on board to help doing that. And during that period of time, the Los Osos Community Services District was created. And then I was named as the first interim general manager for the Los Osos Community Services District. That particular experience is noteworthy for your consideration today because that was one of the first times, and I'll talk about a second time, but the first times where I really started doing the double duty. Because at Cannon Associates, I was controller slash chief financial officer. So I was handling their books and records and taking that role on, as well as doing consulting for governmental entities, and interim general manager for the Los Osos Community Services District. And to reemphasize that sort of double duty at that point in time was a little bit foreshadowing of subsequent efforts on double duty and what we're considering, what your board is considering in a contract for me today. My move over to the Wallace Group was simply that the Cannon Associates was very busy at that time, and so the economy was going, their oil and gas, their development work was still going very strong. And so they had not really made a strong progression into government work. The Wallace Group, obviously, had a lot of experience in government services, and I simply moved over to an organization that had more work aligned with the type of work that I was doing. And then 2001, after the county engineer, the county board of supervisors reorganized the engineering department, and then it became the public works director. The new public works director then asked me to come back and apply for the deputy director position. Obviously, a competitive recruitment process, but I did was successful in that and went back to public works then in 2001. And was then the deputy director until January of 2008, when I became, when I was appointed into my current director as the public works director. So my experience overall: two different tenures with private CPA firms, two different tenures with private local engineering firms, just one governmental entity, and so hopefully Oceano Community Services District will be the second government entity that I'm working for. Again, the last bullet point, a little bit hard to read, is 30 years of progressively responsible development of a career that leads to today. So there should be page down button. Might have to hit this. So in terms of an overview, management and policy development, right now regional and sub-regional water resource management, the integrated regional water management program that's part of the state have gone by. It's the permits that the local governments have to make. Tony spoke to MS4 permit and the collection systems, and certainly it's understandable that the regional board, both the Central Coast as well as through California, are placing more of an emphasis on collection systems and spills associated with collection systems, because they've done a very good job of dealing with spills associated with treatment plants. And even though our local treatment plant did have a problem a couple years ago, the number of spills in treatment plants has gone down significantly over the decades in California, and so our regulators are focusing more on the collection systems. But understanding where their priorities are and understanding regulatory compliance is certainly a big issue for all special districts. And the smaller the special district is, the more challenging it is sometimes to keep up on those regulatory issues. I mentioned the CSAC, that's the California State Association of California leadership training. Last year I completed their leadership training program, the only public works director in the state of California to do so far. And then my little pitch is I'm dependable, consistent, and productive. So again, on special districts, reorganizations, the interim general manager for Los Osos, when it was created, for San Miguel itself, the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, the primary entity that the Board of Supervisors uses to manage water supply, is itself a special district. Now, many county-dependent special districts, our water operations in Chandon and San Miguel, well, not San Miguel anymore, but Chandon and Cayucas and Santa Margarita, very much have some of the same challenges that Oceano has. Lots of details on budgets, reserves, financial statements. I looked through the financial statements. It was nice to see that the audits have all been caught up. I think I found a few things that can be tweaked or made a little bit better, but it was nice to see that those are all caught up. I have a bullet point: rate analysis is in Prop 218, because when Prop 218 was adopted or approved by voters in 1996, I was the individual at the county who then worked with legal counsel in order to evaluate all of the Prop 218 impacts on the county operations, and have been working on Prop 218 issues ever since they were originally developed. Fire district management and emergency operations, it's one of those experiences again in the past. County Service Area 9, which was Los Osos prior to the creation of the Los Osos Community Services District, also has fire operations. And in that management capacity that I had, which up until 1997, the fire chief in the Los Osos Fire Department did report to me. And so I had a lot of work in understanding what their needs were, equipment replacements for fire operations. And while that is now, you know, obviously under contract with Five Cities County, the background is still important in order to be able to review issues with the fire authority. Refuse and solid waste recycling franchises. You know, obviously, again, the CSD has the franchising on solid waste. That franchising authority itself for all of the special districts have evolved from the county's franchising system. And when the original solid waste and recycling efforts, Assembly Bill 939, were being implemented for source reduction and recycling, I was taking the lead on many of those policy issues with the Board of Supervisors, and I was taking the lead when the franchises then were established. Prior to the franchises, it was purely a permitting issue through county health, and the local waste haulers wanted to be able to have franchises with the governmental entities because then it made their businesses, it gave them the ability to sell their businesses, it gave them the ability to get better financing with franchises. And I was the staff member to help lead the development of the franchising system at the county. And then projects, permitting, and funding, obviously a number of capital projects that I've worked on. Lopez Seismic, I mentioned, the Nacimiento Water Project, and many, many of the smaller projects. So that's sort of the summary of the background on my resume. And next. You know, in terms of moving forward, where do I see the, you know, any individual who's applying for a particular job, we can and talk about our experience like a resume does. And then where is it that that experience developed knowledge that then's germane to the organization that, you know, an applicant is applying to. So on the water resource issues, certainly Lopez Water, State Water are two areas that the district has, you know, contracts for water with the county. The Lopez Water, the existing contracts that date back to about 2000, I was the individual who helped lead the negotiations on those contracts. They were necessary at that point in time in order to finance and make sure everything was in place for the Lopez Seismic Remediation Project. So we took the old 1960s contracts, and there were some renegotiations that had to occur, and I was the staffer. I was actually consulting at the time, but representing the county in leading the renegotiation of the existing Lopez Water contracts. And I can't say that anybody is intimately knowledgeable about the state water contract. Supply might be used elsewhere in the Santa Maria groundwater basin to help deal with the situation. But because Lopez was solely financed locally, both through water payments like your district and the city's pay, as well as the taxes that were approved by Zone 3 property taxes, both in the 1960s, approved by more than a two-thirds vote, and then in early 2000, also for the remediation project, there was a successful special tax approved by more than a two-thirds vote. But because the financing is purely local for Lopez, that provides the legal, the argument within the adjudication that that water is then preserved for the Northern Cities Management Area. So that's an important financing aspect of Lopez that helped preserve the water supply. And then IRWM stands for the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, which the county is currently working on the second generation plan. And of course, it's also the conduit for some of the drought emergency funding and other funding through the Department of Water Resources. In that particular regional water management program itself, we can anticipate is going to grow in the years that come. The plan update that is being finalized right now has a lot of different concepts. It's got projects in it. There's a lot of details. And a critical aspect with this generation is that in the first year then, and this is not just a county effort either, it's everybody who's participating regionally and through the Water Resource Advisory Committee. But the point is, in the first year then, everybody, we need to establish the performance measurements on how we're doing regionally in our management of water. And then in years 2 through 5 then, everybody regionally, and Oceano is part of it, is going to then go through the process of evaluating how are we regionally doing and performing on our regional water resource management strategies. And as a second generation plan, that performance measurement aspect of it's going to be important in the years to come because it's going to help us identify what are the concepts that, you know, really aren't going to take root regionally, what are the issues that are, and how well are we really coordinating on our regional water management efforts. The first generation plan that was adopted several years ago was sort of perceived as only being a conduit to getting grant funding. It did result in a couple million dollars for the Rio Grande Creek levees, as well as for Napomo's project and for the Los Osos wastewater project. But the whole IRWM effort is more than pursuing grants. It's also coordinating regional water resources and what we're doing collectively. The second bullet on recycled water clearly is part of the Los Osos wastewater project. I gained a lot of extensive knowledge on recycled water, and I got a little note there, Water Code 13550. We will, at the county, will credit the public in Los Osos for pointing that particular code section out to us. And what it does is it addresses how is it that municipalities who have recycled water, how is it that you can actually impose it upon agriculture? You know, obviously developing collective or collaborative agreements for something like recycled water, and, you know, Jeff had spoken earlier about the importance of recycled water in the years to come. And I agree completely. But there's a lot of little details that are embedded in the water code that end up driving some of the relationships and how do we shape projects. It's, you know, a lot easier than said than done in terms of developing these things. Another important feature in the water code and recycled water is the issue of who really has the right to sell that water. And there's definitely some provisions that beg that the wastewater entity is not the water purveyor, but the right to sell the recycled water goes back to the water purveyors. And I think that particular issue itself could be especially germane to Oceano, especially when we consider where is the location of the treatment facilities. It's within your boundaries, and it begs as to whether or not Oceano might have the first right to be the purveyor of recycled water. Clearly, that issue has to be addressed in greater detail, but it's those kind of details and the knowledge gained in the water code and the recycled water that really is part of the benefits that would be coming to your district if in fact you choose to hire me. You know, obviously, conservation is a critical aspect of everything we do. The San Jose Mercury published an article a couple weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago, but certainly this year, showing that the Central Coast is by far the most efficient region in the state of California, the lowest, you know, residential gallons per capita. And today I had a meeting with some members of the State Water Board, and they were pleased to hear that some of our communities on the Central Coast are using about 50 gallons per capita per day for indoor use, which is what they're targeting for basic health and safety needs. So on the Central Coast overall, we are well ahead of much of the state. On operations and maintenance, this is operations and administration. This is really a role then that I'm a support role, right? Whether it's a support role for Tony and the guys out in the field or in the office, Marie, you know, what do I do there? So the idea of regulatory requirements, yes, I have a good handle on understanding the overall picture of regulatory requirements, but it's really sitting down with the Department of Public Health, the Regional Water Board process, that those who wanted to build houses had to retrofit the other houses. And Cayucas is one of the communities where the consumption is, where conservation is very successful and where consumption is very low. Next. Last slide, I'm moving forward then. Financial. I'll cover that. On financial, you know, the whole range of cost allocations. I noticed in the budget and everything that there's some a matrix on how are we estimating out of staffing costs and other costs, what percentage is attributable to the water fund, what percentage is attributable to the wastewater fund. And that cost allocation scheme is common in many agencies, and in the county, there's cost allocations on certain aspects of the county's costs. But one of the important things in cost allocations is also to track where are we really expending our resources, right? Because then that gives us the better ability to understand our needs, what it's costing us, and it provides a truer accounting of actual cost as opposed to a cost allocation matrix. Equipment and reserve analysis certainly has been a big part. And then the rate model and evaluation. So as I mentioned, one of my early efforts was in rate analysis and rate modeling. And it certainly is then one of the benefits of for the district to be able to do that in-house. I think the staff report had noted the paper article on the city of Morro Bay, who's looking to go and seek a rate consultant, and their estimate is somewhere in the range of $30,000 or $35,000 to $70,000 to do that. And that's a one-time expenditure that Morro Bay is going to incur, and then they lose the institutional knowledge because the consultant comes in, does the work, prepares a report, and then the consultant leaves. And what we really need to do here is to establish a model then that can be used throughout time so that we can run a variety of different scenarios and continue to work with it, and that itself will provide some significant financial benefits. Wrapping it up on moving forward, certainly interagency relations, community relations, and teamwork are a very big part of what's important in order to make sure that the efforts of Oceano are aligned with the efforts of others, and so that when we do get into some of those situations where we have disagreements with other agencies, we can work through them. You know. Next slide. So I'm going to wrap up then on this PowerPoint presentation, then make a couple of concluding remarks on the first 90 days. Certainly, you know, establishing goals and objectives that you would have of me itself, you know, that's clearly outlined in the contract itself. Making sure that goals and objectives are established and put down in writing. Making sure to work with your board on what are the policy priorities in moving forward. Does your board want to develop a strategic plan? Do you want to focus on, you know, priorities that are the issue of the day? Do we want to brainstorm a lot of priorities? And so there's a number of different approaches in establishing board policy priorities. And part of that is just me getting up to speed on what your board has already been working on in terms of policies. I know there's a pro forma in terms of being able to evaluate some of the maintenance issues or deferred maintenance costs even. But what are the board policy priorities that should be tackled? Accounting and cost allocation systems. Certainly there's a lot of technical efforts in there that I need to get in and learn and jump into right away. Regulatory agency issues, contacting all the regulatory agencies and making sure that I understand from their perspective what's the status of Oceano. It's that communication loop. You know, we have to have a lot of communications. And then the interagency issues, and certainly issues that are prime right now, like on the Zone 3 is the issue of surplus water and what is the pumping going on through the NCMA. So, you know, sitting down with the other local agencies and making sure that I understand what their perspective is on Oceano in our interagency relations. You know, the only other sort of, or two concluding remarks that I'd like to make is, you know, first with respect to my motivations, first with respect to the salary request, because certainly the compensation issue is the big issue that your board has is looking at in this contract. And I am very much and have throughout my career been sensitive to, you know, my salary and the cost of services for the public that we serve. You know, the salary request itself was simply based on my existing total compensation for the county. And that has three different components. It has my salary, which is easy for anybody to look up in the budget book. It has my car allowance. And then it also has a factor, which is about 9.1%. Which is what the county pays out of my obligation for pension trust. And so it's those three things added together that provide my total compensation. And I provided legal counsel and I have with the county, you know, all likelihood is the salary and the pension benefits would increase within that same range as well. So the transition in my mind doesn't enhance my pension, it doesn't hurt my pension. It's basically a neutral request in terms of what I might seek. I will note that because of, you know, the details on how compensation works up and everything, my take-home pay will be better. And that's a function of how withholdings work and how the different contributions to pension work. But that's, you know, the basis is, again, trying to be neutral on the pension side of stuff and recognizing over the next four-year period, I would definitely have some incentives in terms of my take-home pay going up. So, you know, with that respect, you know, you can't have the conversation without talking about money a little bit. I felt neutrality on the pension was important, and my incentive is really on the monthly, the take-home over the next 4 years. But the move isn't really about money, right, because I'm well compensated at the county. And why do I, you know, the statement of interest talks about public service very briefly. But beyond public service and the career that I've had here in San Luis Obispo County for since 1986, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of the communities. And certainly the work that I have at the county is something that's a great opportunity, and they give me, you know, good challenges and everything. But there's a little bit of a heart that goes to working directly with the communities. And, you know, at this point in time in my career, I definitely have a lot of value in directly working with individual communities. I feel like I've had long-term great working relationships with Oceano. I've had great working relationships with a number of the communities in the county, but certainly here as well. And so in some respects, it's really a unique set of circumstances that provides this opportunity, in the fact that you have the two vacant positions, both of which line up to my skill set. And, you know, I hope that you'll agree that I have a lot of value to add for the Oceano Community Services District. So Phil then put one question in front of me. I got to address this one, right? Could you get us one more rainstorm? One more rainstorm this month. And, you know, it's one of those things where I can talk about all this, but I know that over time I'm still going to be delivering some news on things that I can't do. So, you know, with that, I'd be glad to answer questions now or even after public comment.
The way we're going to do it, Pablo, is we're going to take public comment. I would ask, if we could turn on the lights, I would ask the public to direct the comments and any questions to the board. And not to Mr. Ogren, since we will have board deliberation. Do you want to take a break? And we'll have Mr. Pavel come back up if the board has any, Mr. Ogren, if the board has any questions for Mr. Ogren, anything to follow up on, we can do that, and then the board will deliberate. The first one I had was Bill Senna. You still awake?
Can I talk as long as he did?
We have 3 minutes here. I don't know where Marie went, but I'll watch the clock.
Bill Senna from Oceano. There's no doubt that that your candidate, Pavon, I have trouble pronouncing your name,
Ogren.
No doubt that he's got the wherewithal to do the job. Kind of what concerns me a little bit is that Oceano, whether we like to admit it or not, is a bedroom community. We don't have that many businesses here. Most people live here and work somewhere else. There are a few businesses, but we're more of a bedroom community. And there's an awful lot of people that live here that are retired, and they're on a fixed income. I worry about some of those folks in my business, try to help them get by a little better. But I'm really worried about the amount of money that you're going to pay this gentleman. No doubt he's worth that. But I'm not sure this is the right fix for Mr. Ogren. I don't think we can afford him. There's talk that the first thing he's going to do is take a look at some of the rate structures that we have. Certainly, we always have to have enough money to fix the water lines. Have to TV the sewer mains from time to time. There's a lot of things that we have to do. And gosh, guys, I don't know how you're going to afford all of those things. Now, Mr. Ogren talked a lot about Lopez Lake. Like some of you, I've served on Zone 3. The county runs Zone 3. We don't run Zone 3. Zone 3...
Certainly, as everyone will agree, to do a job like this, from everything that we see of his experience over the last 30 years, this is a guy who knows water, he knows community service districts, he knows the intergovernmental agencies, he knows the politics, he knows the people personally. Board of Supervisors, through probably many of the different elected officials in the BOS. And of course, when you look at and evaluate the value of all of that, what is it worth? Is it worth the salary you're willing to pay him? Well, if he does the right things by Oceano, it's more than worth it. The reason I'm standing up here today is because I don't doubt or disqualify Mr. Ogren at all for any of his qualifications or his experience or his abilities. What I take issue with in a lot of ways is my experience with, I'll call him Paavo, because that's how I know him, is some ethical questions. And I'm not going to talk about a lot of specifics here. The people of Los Osos and the county were promised a fair evaluation of sewer systems when they needed to replace when they wanted to do a Los Osos sewer. He came to our Surfrider meeting. We were pushing to have that fair evaluation done. The county, and of course, it's political expediency is what I'm talking about here. And of course, the county politically expediently picked gravity sewer and no other evaluations whatsoever. So I wonder about the ability to select ethics with regards to what it is we need to have done for the people of Oceano here, as opposed to something that's politically expedient. And of course, you can all read about the backdating of the contract at the Los Osos CSD back in the 80s. That's all public knowledge. I'm sure the litigation that's all happening right there, right now, you'll see the story.
Thank you, Mr. Pynak. Next one I have is Dane Sensor. Good evening, sir.
Dane Sensor, Oceano. This board has a extremely controversial decision to make on this man's hiring here. In my opinion, this is almost like Bell County, where the people were paid extraordinary amounts of salaries. This Oceano is not it's not even incorporated as a city, I understand, as far as council members and that. The salary here, to me, I look at the city of Slo's administrators, their salaries, their budgets. Here, city of Slo, $220 million average salary, $111 million budget. Oceano, $4.0 million, 7,200 people, 45,000. It's not congruent with what's happening here. Now he's going to be in charge of, from 160 people, I understand, in charge of six employees. I don't know how many, but something doesn't sound right here. The salary of $196,000 in this small community of Oceano, I break my back in this town of working, doing the best I can. I pay taxes. I pay a lot of them, and more and more and more, and it keeps on coming. I can't afford Mr. Paavo. You can't afford him. The city can't afford him. This is a very, very controversial decision to make, to pay this kind of money. Now, his qualifications are what they are, but I'm a little confused. Why would you want to come from a huge Slo County administrative building and come down here to Oceano, and it brings along with other controversies, the lawsuit over in Los Osos now. I would really have to think, living in this county, gosh, do I want to pay a city administrator $196,000 for benefits and salaries and all the other things that go along with it? Can you afford this? Is this budget that big in Oceano? Do the taxpayers want to pay? And who's going to pay for it? The taxes will go up. The water bills will go up. Things will go up. All the money that's put out has to be brought from someone. And you know it's going to be brought from us, the taxpayers, us, the people, the small businesses. These small businesses in this town, I've watched them. These people are not big, high money earners in this town. You know, there's a few, of course, here and there, but for the most part, we're 9-to-5ers, small salary scale people, and it's tough, and it can get easier. So to bring in this gentleman for $196,000 to me is like the Bell County salary controversy. I hope it's not made. There's some good people in this town that I think you can find that are right here in this room, I bet you, that can qualify and do an extraordinary job because they know the town. They know the people. Give them a chance.
Thank you, Mr. Censor. The next one I have is Ms. Linda Austin. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening. I'm afraid to President Guerrero and directors. I'm Linda Austin, Oceano resident. And it looks like the big question is tonight then the elimination of the other job that makes up his salary. So I really think it's too early that we really don't even know yet the amount of savings that we're going to get that we will see if Pavel is hired as the general manager. You know, I know it is a lot of money, but you've got to really, really look at it. Look at it really carefully. Go back and look at all the money that we've spent in the last few years on the things that he can do now.
Can you guys keep it down in the back?
Yeah, please. Like I said, if you go back and look at all the money that we have spent over the years on consultants, on hiring everything out, things that this gentleman can do right here in-house, you're going to find that it is a very good move. And, you know, these people that aren't happy by November, there is an election in November, and, you know, you want to run for the board. And I think in this 6 months we're going to see there's going to be a big change here. I think we're going to realize that it was a right move if that's what you decide to do. You know, these last few years, like I said, have been very rough here. We've had a lot of trying times, and I just really think we shouldn't miss out on this opportunity to bring this district back. And I just trust you guys to look at it very closely and do what's best. You know, the old saying, you get what you pay for, and I think that's what we're going to get here, and I think we'll be fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. The next one I have is Shirley Gibson. Ms. Gibson. Good evening, Ms. Gibson.
Hi. Hello.
Be careful with that, yeah.
Thank you. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I have just 2 points. I've been a supporter of this board. I think you have had a few misfires in the last couple of years. I do agree that we get what we pay for, and you have burned through quite a few general managers. Aside from the yearly compensation, I take issue with the severance package. When two parties agree to a contract, I believe the risk should be shared. And if Mr. Ogren is to receive $200,000 if he leaves the employ of the district, where is the risk on his part? It seems like the community is assuming all of the risk. And will we have to sell water or raise rates in order to hire him? And then if you're not happy with his service, can we even afford to have him leave? I think that needs to be considered by the board. My second point is trust. The OCSD has the water. Everybody else wants it. And I think the community needs to trust in the board. And no personal offense to Mr. Ogren, but I never trust staff or managers when there are important issues. They are not the elected representatives. You are. And my experience in participating and watching local government agencies is that staff can sometimes have a different agenda than the community. And I'm not sure how I feel about the board in that I think by his salary and severance package, you've already given him too much power. It's like you're going to be stuck with him for 4 years, or it's going to cost the community a lot of money. So I would encourage you to go back to the drawing board and maybe make some adjustments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson.
President Guerrero, could I just make a comment, clarification here on the severance issue?
Yes.
Just to clarify for the board, the way the contract is written, Mr. Ogren would not be given severance if he decides to leave. That's not correct. It's if he resigns, then he receives no severance at all. The severance would only kick in if during the time, the first 3 years, if he is terminated without cause, it's without good reason by the board, and in the final year, he wouldn't receive the entire severance package, but just the amount of time remaining for that year. So just to clarify that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. The next one I have is Daryl Sheck.
President Guerrero, sorry again, because we know Daryl, it might be interesting to know who he's speaking on behalf. Is he speaking individually or on behalf of the
okay.
union? Or the?
Yes. And I'll elaborate on that.
Thank you, sir. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, Daryl?
Yeah, Sheck. Yeah,
I thought so.
Okay, thank
great.
You. Good evening, President Guerrero, Vice President Lucy.
MOU with this particular union. I understand if he was representing, speaking as a resident, as somebody who's invested in this community, but he's speaking as a union rep that is currently in negotiations with this board.
I understand your concern, and that was also the reason why I asked who he's speaking on. I think that Daryl has been speaking about the impact of this decision on the union as a general matter, not specifically in regards to negotiations with the districts. I believe he intends to stay in that regard and not discuss any pending negotiations. That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the negotiations. No. Other than that, obviously it's been disclosed that we are in negotiations.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality as it relates to hiring management, mm-hmm. you're in negotiations for staff.
Correct.
And this is a management decision is not covered under your union.
And the reality is we also don't have any signed ground rules with regards to what I'm allowed to speak to with the first member.
All right. I just want to make sure we're all within the rules, just like you do to me.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl. And
thank you.
Why don't we go ahead and let him continue.
Appreciate it.
Marie.
So our member employees have been instrumental in holding this district together through all the frequent management turnover that's taken place over here in the last few years. Some of these employees are directly responsible for the health and safety of Oceano's citizens, and I dare say that should this contract go through, the general manager's salary may be higher than what all of our represented member employees make combined. As you know, our union and your district began contract bargaining back in 2013. We've been in negotiations with the district. That's been disclosed here. I'm hopeful we can reach an agreement. However, it seems that when the district wants to get a contract done, it seems to proceed at a very fast pace. When it doesn't, it seems to drag its heels kicking and screaming. That's your prerogative. You're
okay.
The board.
President Guerrero, I would remind Daryl that now he's starting to get into the line here of discussing negotiations.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Jeff. I just hope that this board is cognizant of the choice between betting it all on one manager or looking at other solutions. The union's also concerned about the lack of financial oversight that may be present should one all-powerful position be created to splice the positions of general manager and accountant together. And one would think this financial oversight would be fundamental given the past bad experiences with the general manager position. This would be general manager number three since I've been involved, and we're concerned about the process, about the progress, you know, moving forward. Our members have been through a lot with all of this management turmoil. They've sacrificed for the betterment of the district. Frankly, proposing a large contract list feels like a kind of a slap in the face to the employees that we represent, the very same employees who actually keep the water flowing in the district. Please keep in mind the greater good of the district when making your decision tonight, the welfare of the citizens of the district, and the member employees who make sure that in the district that everyone in the district has clean water depends on it. Fire protection also would we've been made more aware of that again in the news with that fire in Lompoc. They're counting on you to make the right decision. Please choose wisely and consider our member employees who continue to provide great service to the district.
Thank you.
We'll work with whoever the district chooses as general manager, and we just ask that you recognize all our member employees.
Thank you,
Thank you.
The next one I have is Colleen Miller. She left? Okay. And then I have Bob Blair. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bob Blair. Some of you know I'm a director in the Pomo Community Service District, and you wonder what's one of the directors doing here. Well, one is I own a house a few blocks up here. I've owned it since the 70s. I built two houses in Oceano, so I've been involved out here for a long time. At the first stint, I had 10 years in a chair like yours. I'm working on 4 years now. I'm going to try to give you a little benefit of my hindsight. I don't know if that works. The gentleman in the audience said I was here the last time. I came here because Thomas was here. I knew Thomas. Thomas had no experience at all. I don't think he ever worked for a water district, and I don't think he ever worked for the county or a government agency. Now, I may be wrong, but you paid him $135,000 or something like that with not a lick of experience. And here he came in here. Now, Pavel, I've known for some time. He has the experience. And when I was on the board, $1,700 an acre foot right now, $23 million project. If I'd have hired that guy from Mammoth, the world might have been different in the Pomo. So you got the chance to shape things for Oceano, and Oceano needs shaped, because if you don't shape up it, you're going to ship out. You're going to get taken over probably by Aurora Grandy or one of these others who wants your water. Those people hope you fail so they can grab your water, because you've got water and assets.
Can you keep it down in the back, Ms. Tacker?
I would go for him.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr.
Blair.
Mr. Blair. The next one I have is Larry Bros. If we could have everybody keep their comments down. It's been distracting this evening. Good evening, Mr. Bros.
I'm Larry Bros. I've been here forever, just about. And I've been up to the board many times. This is probably going to be the last time I'll ever talk to you. I want to thank you for being here and giving advice from the Pomo. However, I live in Oceano. You know, I paid the Oceano bill. I didn't build it. I built one house on the Strand here. And originally, we weren't paying very much for water. You know, people have stole my thunder here because they use Bell City. Somebody talked about ethics. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think there's smacks of all kinds of politics. I'm very disappointed, especially with the president of this board. Especially disappointed. There's only one person here who has stood for election at only one person. I mean, $200,000, $1 million over 4 years. Do we need a superstar? We need a good accountant. We don't have sovereignty. It's obvious this is coming from the Board of Supervisors. It's obvious to anybody. I don't know why he'd want to leave a job like that. And I don't know why you would want him. We need an accountant. the thing is spun. We had a turnstile of people. Perfect example of why I think it's the board. Look at the sheriff had his boy who ran his campaign placed here. Do we have sovereignty in this community? Do we have local control? I don't think so. We have Bell City. Bell City. That's what it is, and that's what it's been. And this is the last straw.
Thank you, Mr. Bross. I'll move to the next one, which I have is Craig Angelo.
Craig Angelo, lifetime resident. I can already hear the peanut gallery in the back starting. I just want to start off by saying I wouldn't worry about an invasion from Grover or Rio Grande. They can't even handle their funds hardly at all on their own. I'd be worried about the invasion from Los Osos and the hypocrites that come from there. I'm over listening to that. Bottom line is it's going to come down to the money. And I've talked to quite a few people about this over the past few days, and do I think anybody is truly worth that much money for this small of a community? I don't, but I've been wrong before. The people I've talked to about it that understand it, that have been more involved than I am for many reasons, they feel that it's worth it. My only suggestion would be don't make it a four-year contract. Make it a two-year. And by the end of 2 years, you'll know if he's truly worth it. And then you can extend it. And if he's truly worth it and he's doing a great job, what does he have to worry about? You can take 24 months and you can do a lot of good and you can do a lot of damage. I started working for this community as an employee, as a volunteer in 2000 when I turned 18. And I've seen the people here need to understand that the water rates are already too low. Them going up has nothing to do with hiring anybody. We are so far behind the eight ball on raising water rates here because we've had so many people that sat in those seats that were very concerned about the fixed budgets and, you know, the incurring the costs. Well, it got so bad that we were subsidizing the water department from other budgets, and you guys need to raise the water rates, and not because of this.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Angelo.
The next one I have is April McLaughlin. Good evening, April.
Hi, guys. My name's April McLaughlin. I'm.
You guys keep it down and back.
Can we not start?
One second, please. April. Let's do it. Can you take it outside? Thank you very much. Okay. All right, April, why don't we start Mrs. McLaughlin's time over? Thank you very much, ma'am.
We good?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is April McLaughlin. I'm a Five Cities resident. I just want you guys to flash back to a year ago when you were in budget talks about the finances of the district. And at that time, you had to let a part-time employee go because you did not have the funds to keep him on staff. And if Carol Ann had not been fired, he would not be an employee to this day. And if you couldn't afford him, how can you afford the $70,000 a year increase? That's something I wish that you guys would think about when you talk about the finances of the district. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. McLaughlin. Those are the last form I had. Is there any other public comment? Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I took issue with Mr. Ogren's long discussion about pension. Nearly half this community is Hispanic or Latin American. How many of those people even have a pension? I could give a damn about his pension. The union representative spoke to the staff that's here and the slap in the face. I don't know why Mr. Angelo is so upset. They're slapping your face, too. This district is not contributing to the Five Cities Fire Authority to the extent that they can, Mr. Ogren, to be able to pay for the Safer Fire Grant funds.
Can you direct your comments to the board?
I'm explaining it to him.
No.
What's wrong with this? I have a long history with Pavo. I don't need to get into those details. It's the staff report and the formula that they, Mr. Ogren, and your legal counsel came to come up with that salary. In 2009, 10, and 11, senior staff members disregarded. You guys didn't give a damn about their pensions either. You let them go. Staff was cut down to the bone. Mr. Montemuro was making $87,500. There was, for a time, there were two members working in the office and three in the utility department. Then it went up to three. When Mr. Gieslin came, between Montemuro and Gieslin, the rate increases happened. The rate schedule was built on that smaller staff, on those lower paid jobs. When Mr. Gieslin came in, he puffed up the general manager's salary by nearly $40,000. He secretly hired an accountant for nearly $45,000. He secretly hired that part-time staff that you did let go nearly $100,000 a year. Was going to this new formulated staff, the model utility, when that money should have gone to the infrastructure. The people of this community let you raise those rates because they didn't want to sell water to Los Robles del Mar. And you let that money go to new staff, higher paid staff, and that's how you come to this formula. Those jobs were gotten illegitimately. You never adopted those positions. You never adopted those job descriptions.
Thank you, Mrs. Tacker.
The formula is flawed. You cannot afford Mr. Ogren.
Mrs. Tacker. Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Yes, good evening, board. My name is Jeff Edwards, and it's pretty clear at this point, Mr. Ogren.
One second, Jeff. Oh, yeah. Start his time over. Ms. Tacker, this will be the last warning. Please, do not create a disturbance in the back. You've done it many, many times tonight.
The $1.1 million fine. Mr. Ogren's answer for that to the Sand District, and Mr. Guerrero, you know that. He told you to go buy a big pump. That was the answer. You heard some specifics from Mr. Ogren tonight about recycled water. Recycled water has no Oceano has no connection to recycled water. You don't have a water supply issue. You can't and don't need to pay for recycled water. It defies logic. I'm still quite puzzled why Mr. Ogren would leave his position with 180 employees at the county for six. It doesn't pass the laugh test, frankly. Mr. Ogren says that there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked on here in Oceano. Now that's articulate. I have to ask, who negotiated this one-sided contract for Mr. Ogren? You clearly didn't have legal counsel. Not with this contract. The salary itself is the equivalent of $800 a day. With benefits, it's $1,000 a day. This beats Gieslin money. This is way over Gieslin money. I don't know how he did it. He must have had Gieslin's lawyer. This is a joke. And if I were Mr. Minery, I would be embarrassed, truly embarrassed. The severance package is embarrassing. There's no physical. Oh, the kicker, the 2.5% kickers gives him $199,920 in fiscal 2015-16. In 16-17, it balloons to $205,000. Who negotiated this contract? This is a joke. This is an embarrassment to your district, it's an embarrassment to your board, and it's an embarrassment to your citizens. I would be ashamed of myself. And by the way, we do have considerable experience with Mr. Ogren.
Thank you very much.
He loves to hire consultants.
Thank you very much, Mr. Edwards.
Like Fugro, who is on your cash disbursements
tonight. All right, is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Why don't we take a break for 10 minutes? It's 8:20 right now. We'll come back at 8:30. All board members are present. Marie is present. Attorney is present. We have just returned from public comment. As we discussed, what we would have is we would have Mr. Pavo take the podium again, and if there's any questions from the board or anything that he would like to address from public comment, we'd start there. Why don't I start with Pavo, if there's any questions that you would like to or anything from public comment that you would like to address. I don't know if you have anything
at the discretion of your board.
Okay. Let's go this way then. During your presentation, you were talking about conservation being critical, and I think that's kind of a no-brainer, but are there any steps that you could see that the OCSD, the South County can do to promote conservation?
Well, certainly there's the Partners for Water Quality, and there's different associations that we have in San Luis Obispo County that are really the collective group in order to help get information out. Whether it's reminding people in the Billings or in other mailers on conservation efforts. But I think really establishing the metrics and evaluating how, is Oceano really doing. One of the issues is, even separate from water conservation, how is the loss factor in the water supply pipelines? So the American Water Works Association gives some metrics on communities whose pipes are relatively tight, and all the way up to communities who absolutely need to do line replacements in order to reduce water losses. But the point is establishing the metrics so that we can really measure performance.
And when you discussed the Lopez contracts that got reopened for negotiations, are those going to be reopened again, or is there any advantage to Oceano that can be had from those?
Well, I think there is an issue that is a good one for Oceano to introduce into discussions, and it's the method in which water is stored at Lopez Lake. And the idea is that it differs than other areas. So if we contrast it to Whale Rock, out of the agencies that get water out of Whale Rock Reservoir, if they don't use it in a particular year, it's stored in their name. Lopez doesn't work that way. That's not.
There's been some concern, tonight, and you said you were sensitive about the salary and the cost of services. So how do you justify that particular salary? Were cost savings or product? What do you see as the justification for that particular salary?
Well, certainly I explained the request that I had, and it's basically, making sure that I'm not going backwards. That's reasonable for any individual seeking a new job. But the fact that the county already pays me well itself is not, a justification for Oceano's needs. I think when we turn and we look at, what I'm able to do, both in terms of the general manager position and the accounting position, in comparison to what's already in the budget, it's pretty close right there. And then the value added of the things that I can do that wouldn't require the consultants to come in is where Oceano would be ahead.
but, you know, I've just got to reiterate it. You know, I am sensitive to that situation, and that is, in turn, what part of motivates me to work as hard as I work and to make sure that, you know, I do a good job.
There's been a lot of discussion amongst our community with the infrastructure needs. We used to have a big broken pipe up here on the table that that was part of the discussions back in 2011 when we were looking at selling water for the Los Robles del Mar. And of course, since then, very little has happened with regard to infrastructure. There's some huge issues regarding funding and how to pay for those infrastructure repairs, upgrades, maintenance, whatever you want to call it. As a paradigm, and I don't know that, I mean, we necessarily have specifics here, but as a paradigm, how do you as a community, how do we approach that to benefit our ratepayers, many of whom are economically disadvantaged? How do we approach that to procure the funding?
Well, you know, certainly funding associated with the Department of Public Health and the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, are structured in order for, depending on income levels, both low interest rate loan financing, as much as 40 years, as well as a portion of it that's grant. What's the realistic expectation is that that government subsidized funding can help offset about 25% to 33% of a project cost. You know, it's impossible to envision, you know, getting grants for 100% of things. It does happen from time to time. But again, being able to take advantage of those existing programs has the financial equivalent of, you know, somewhere between 25% and 33% should be the target that we would be looking at. You know, grants come in two forms, right? I mean, actual dollars as well as low interest rate loans that are subsidized. And when you do the economic equivalent, that should be the target, 25% to 33% offset through those funding sources. That also tends to be about the percentage that is incurred on the soft cost, design, construction, management, and everything. So the expectation, a realistic expectation in getting good funding, is that the community ends up paying basically for the hard construction costs.
All right. Instead of hogging the microphone, I'll turn it over to Director Blackburn and see if she has any questions, and go down the line. Put your mic on.
I'm really excited about the possible opportunity of working with you. You're very skilled and have lots of qualifications, but of course I do have some questions about the money. But I also am curious, do you feel that you have the skills to lead the board and staff through a strategic planning session?
I like to say I work with, you know, the board, and I work with staff. Because it really is a team effort that's necessary. And I have done strategic planning in both, you know, the public agency environment as well as in private corporation environment. So, yeah, there's different approaches to taking in strategic planning. But strategic planning shouldn't be thought of just a work product. Mm-hmm. It's a process, and we continue to go through strategic planning over time.
Okay. So you wouldn't need to hire somebody lead us through that?
Not. Okay. Yeah.
Did I remember, too, that you have some abilities in grant writing?
Oh, yeah. I've written a lot of grants.
Okay.
And then, obviously, right now, I've you know, worked with people on how to write grants. But,
okay.
Yeah.
How would you go about moving forward towards...
We could do that internally.
In-house.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and a good point there is that when it comes to a professional and engineer will put out what they call opinions of probable costs, and they'll take a certain method in terms of developing those estimates. From a financial perspective, we look at it in terms of how many feet of pipe are we talking about, and then we go out and we look at jobs that were already completed. So did Arroyo Grande, did Santa Margarita, did Cayucas do a line replacement job? In order to do cost comparisons. And then when you move into the actual project development and you actually hire the engineers, then yeah, they start doing the opinions of probable cost. But cost comparisons to recent projects are just as valid as anything else in coming up with estimates for master plan purposes.
Okay. Should I just keep going?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Pages of questions. What sort of internal controls do you propose to account for the deficiency of checks and balances caused by the GM taking on the finances?
You know, and I heard that comment earlier, and you know, in terms of checks and balances in any organization, it's not a function of just two positions. Mm-hmm. The basic approach on internal controls in an organization is the separation of records from assets, so that the individuals who have the responsibility for the accounting books and records, they don't have the assets. And by making sure that there's a separation there, if somebody is doing something improper with an asset, well, they don't have the ability to monkey with the books. A small organization like this is never going to be able to do that internal control and the separation of records from assets. But that's also why vendor payments come on to your board for approval. And that's an important function. You know, when we look to the larger cities or the counties, why don't they have, you know, the same agenda item approving all these the payments that you approve? Well, because they're large enough organizations in order to establish the internal controls. So it's really not the issue of a GM being also an accountant. It's just the function of a small organization. And that's why the documents have to be clean. That's why there has to be paper trails on every single transaction. And that's why they need to come to your board for final approval.
So, I will definitely be the first to admit that we already need to raise our rates. We cannot cover our costs as it is, regardless of whether or not we hire you. And the ability to perform a rate study is one of the reasons that the district may be able to justify the requested salary for the first year, but I'm wondering if you can tell me how we'll be able to justify it over the next 3 years. That it's about a $34,000 or so shortfall from what we have budgeted for the two positions and your requested salary. And I'm wondering how you can, and is this contract, is that it, or is it negotiable, your requested salary?
Well, you know, whenever anybody poses the question on whether something is negotiable, that's usually the first step in negotiations, right? So, the whole point of the public session is that the salary has to be discussed in an open session. It's one of the items that's prohibited from being discussed in closed session. You know, I suppose if there's different provisions that your board might want to negotiate, then I think there might be some guidance from legal counsel as to whether or not those particular provisions might be appropriate for closed session. It is always a little bit awkward, you know, to be up here in this type of a situation. Most people don't have to, you know, have the cameras on and people looking at them when you're talking about careers and job applications and everything else like that. So, you know, the question, are things negotiable? Sure, that's what the purpose of the public session is. And, you know, the question is, where does your board want to go with that?
That's my last one, I think.
Take your time, Jennifer.
Does the workload of fulfilling two almost full-time positions, does that worry you, doing audit prep and doing payroll and PERS? And
well, I'm not going to take it lightly, that's for sure. You know, your legal counsel already indicated that I don't get any severance if it's termination for cause, right? So it's certainly the burden is on my back to make sure that I get all that work done. In terms of it's not new roads that I have to go down, you know, it's not a learning curve that I need to get through in terms of the technical aspects. Sure, right up front, you know, learning the accounting system that's here at the district, because every accounting system and every organization is different, so I'm going to have to put in you know, a lot of hours, especially up front, to come to up to speed on some of the details.
There's becoming kind of a disgruntlement between all of us. Matter of fact, yesterday I got some paperwork that I hadn't seen before, and now it's going to be on the agenda for tomorrow. Those kind of things, and I know you've been involved with Zone 3 for some time, and I'm hoping that you could step in and kind of find out what's going on and why we're having these issues. To me, they're kind of ridiculous. You know, you ask a question, all you want is an answer, and half the time we can't get that. And there's been a few incidences that tempers kind of flared, that type of thing. And what concerns me is that if we don't have someone that can neutralize the situation, that is knowledgeable about it, then we're in trouble. And so that's one of the issues that I think is probably one of the best assets that you have, is you've negotiated with a lot of these different organizations and boards and that type of thing. So I feel like that alone in itself is a very good reason to hire you, along with just your general knowledge of how it's been going on all these years. You know, we step into it from time to time as we change board members, and sometimes you don't have all the information from the background, so you get surprises, and we've never really had anyone but ourselves to try to get the answers and stuff. You can ask questions, although I will say the staff at the county, Carolyn have been helpful. But those are the kind of issues that I'm concerned with. And it's not just that particular group. It's a variety of things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes we get so much paperwork coming in and so many questions, and we can't get answers to them like we need to be. So that's my biggest concern, is that, and we do. Water rates, believe it or not, are a lot higher in Grover, because I pay them there too. So ours are probably one of the least expensive ones. So I agree with Jennifer. We probably will have to raise the rates. We've put it off and put it off and put it off, but hopefully it won't be an excruciating jump. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, is those abilities that you would have.
And I hear you loud and clearly, because one of the things that it really points to is that your board members really have more than one job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you sit here on your board here, but by virtue of being getting, you know, on this particular board, you end up having a number of other jobs also, whether it's, you know, sitting on the Sand District Board or sitting mm-hmm. on Zone 3.
Yeah.
And so it is important for staff and a person like myself in my position, not just to work with your board on in the capacity where you sit as the board of directors, mm-hmm. but also to work with you individually when you go and you work in those other interagency issues. It's, you know, the staff's responsibility to make sure that what's going on with Zone 3, making sure that, you know, if I need to have discussions with Arroyo Grande or Grover or the county on the issues that are going on with Zone 3, that I have those discussions so that, you know, when you're reading the agenda and you have questions, that I've covered those bases as well, so that you mm-hmm. can go fully prepped to go to those Zone 3 meetings and to represent the district. And
great.
Yeah,
that's what we're lacking. We've not had that type of management person that can do that with us. We've pretty much been on our own to try to figure it out and what's the best way to go. So that's where I'm looking for, I think, your abilities are.
And it can't be lost on us that, you know, for the three cities here, Rio Grande, Grover, and Pismo, mm-hmm. they've also all had turnover in their public works director positions in the last couple of years. And so some of the struggles right now is the, you know, lack of the knowledge of the group collectively.
Right, I agree. That was probably the main thing I wanted to ask about.
I just have a couple things I want to ask you. Lori's absolutely right. We've had to go on digging up people who were on boards in the past and asking them the outcome of certain things. And so recently, well, it used to be a water agreement with the groundwater basin called the Gentleman's Agreement. And it was between Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Oceano, and Grover. And when the basin was adjudicated just before that, the courts did rule that we were properly monitoring and that the courts would need an annual report once a year. And the larger cities around us, they've taken it even a step further than that. Our monthly reports should not exist, but we're billed for them through the Northern Cities management.
the quarterly reports look like the yearly reports, which we should not be paying for quarterly reports, and the definition of surplus. And Lori and I have held firm, and Tony Maricino has held firm, is that you can't be in a three-tier drought, a federal drought, a state drought, and a county drought, and have a surplus. You can't do it in my house. I don't know about your guys' house, but look, I don't have a surplus of anything if I'm in a crisis, you know, and so we can never have too much water. And Oceano has gone above and beyond any special district or city in the area, except for the city of San Luis Obispo, in taking that directive by the state, extremely important. We've diversified almost to a fault. But what we've done is we've secured the water above and beyond for our geographic area, but that basin covers a lot of geographic areas. So right now we're kind of browbeat into not pumping 900 acre feet of water, which is a huge revenue loss to Oceano. So you knowing the structure of this groundwater basin monitoring group, now known as the Northern Cities Management Group, what's your opinion on keeping them in? Because we really just need them to collect the data and pump it into an annual report, that you keep a template on your desk and send it to the state.
And if I'm hearing correctly, in terms of the utilization of the consultants who are currently working on that, is that my opinion?
Is it a value for Oceano to be that vested at that high of a stake? Yeah. It's not a value to me as a board member. I don't see it as a...
Right. So, you know, I think that with the timing of the adjudication and with the timing of the turnover in staff and the public works director and the other agencies, you have new people walking in, they've got bigger budgets, they've got a lot of things to learn. It's a little bit understandable because of workload issues that they're sort of leaning on the consultants. But the scenario that you describe, and I agree with, is the type of thing that, well, okay, if that's necessary for a short period of time, fine, but it really needs to transition back into staff work. You know, the basic, the technical, you know, consultants, and this is something that, you know, I've discussed with different agencies. Consultants are necessary, and they're especially necessary for two things. One is technical expertise, because, you know, hydrogeologists or how to build a dam, you know, those types of skills are held with very few people. And the other thing is workload. And sometimes the workload is when you're doing something new. But now that, you know, the monitoring program and everything for NCMA is fairly well established, it benefits not just Oceano, but I believe the other cities on bringing that in-house. Because by bringing it in-house, it forces the staff of the different agencies to communicate. It forces the staff, you know, we still share the same groundwater supply. Mm-hmm. And everybody still shares, you know, at least Lopez, you know, Pismo and Oceano are unique in terms of acquiring state water. But it, to me, in some respects, it's understandable to rely on the consultants up front and to get something established. But then once established, the efficiency is by the staff of the different agencies working together in order to you know, keep doing the monitoring and the reporting. It forces us to coordinate, make sure that we understand how we're collectively. It's part of that sub-regional water management underneath the integrated regional water management efforts. And then it preserves the financial resources for when you really need to use the consultants on, you know, highly technical issues.
Okay. So you think a lot of that could be brought in-house at this point in the project?
Yeah, you know, I guess the proposition to the others, if they don't want to do it, then maybe they can pay Oceano to help get it done.
Okay. And... that's a good point. And yeah, and you have the ability to make out that invoice to them too, right? Secondly, is in the state of California, nobody has too much water. I don't care who you are, nobody has too much water. And so as owners, vested owners of 33 1/3% of that sand district, I have waited for some time to see a return. Because there was a large reserve over there at one time, and I started asking the administrator, hey, where's our 33 1/3%? And of course, you know, that didn't make anybody happy. And so do you think that down the road there is a way to recoup that water that we're losing out into the ocean, which is averaging 5 million gallons a day, and taking 33 1/3% of it and putting it back into our portfolio? Because we do have an extensive portfolio. People need to understand that.
Regulators are going to require it. So what can we do on a proactive basis in order to shape the future better for Oceano? Some of the issues at play, of course, are when it comes to some of the costs associated with recycled water. One policy position that the board would warrant board discussion is that since you have lesser needs than some of the others, that additional cost of making recycled water available, you should bear less cost associated with it. If it's more important for other agencies because they don't have as diversified of a water portfolio as Oceano, then they should pay a higher cost associated with the recycled water. There has been, you know, sub-regional discussions about whether or not the recycled water out of the Sand District should go up onto the Mesa, and I think we heard a comment to that extent today. Sure, that might be something that might make sense, but only after the water resources of the NCMA is nailed down, and then to the degree that maybe some of it could move to help with other areas. Sure, you know, those other areas are going to have to pay all the infrastructure costs associated with doing so, and then they would have to pay, you know, a cost for that water, which then there would be a financial benefit back to Oceano and arguably everybody else who's in the Sand District. The point is, today, you know, isn't a day to make any recommendations on those types of details, but instead it's to understand that, you know, there's a number of significant factors that really have to be, you know, evaluated, walked through, policy decisions need to be made on them. And because Oceano is in a relatively, you know, good situation in terms of a diversified water portfolio, and better than most, you know, the ability to establish policies, establish the posture, and leading into negotiations, do it before the regulators say that, you know, you have to implement something. Start early and be ready.
Great. Okay. So you think that we could save some funds in the Northern City Collaboration Project just on what their scope of work is? Do you think that we could find
a
save?
You know, again, it's a detail that needs to be looked into, but...
Okay. And because I'm trying to add up, you know, we've listed two job positions, right? But there are other assets with your qualifications that will allow us for a savings to be put into our infrastructure. So that's why I asked that. So that's it. Thanks.
Karen?
Yeah. I probably have the most loaded question of the night.
Okay.
I have constituents who are gun-shy. They feel like Grover wants their water, the county wants their water, everybody wants to push them around. So what I'm looking at is some kind of guarantee, because they asked me, how do I know you're not a Trojan horse sent by the county to take over the rest of Oceano? Now, this was brought, I mean, this was also what people felt when Tom Gieselman was sent by Teixeira. It was another plot by the county. So they have, and with the way things are, have come and gone, they, I think, have a right to be concerned.
Yeah, in terms of, I'll acknowledge, it was a hot day, and it is hot, and that was a, you know, one of the more difficult questions. When we take a look at how people behave, you know, and what motivates people, it sort of begs the question of what would motivate the county from wanting to take over Oceano. You know, if, and I'm not going to speculate that they want to, but, you know, clearly the difference between the cities where they could look for annexations and they could potentially look for obtaining another water supply, whether they have any of those sort of nefarious types of motivations, I'm not in the city hall to sort of be the fly on the wall.
understanding the contracts, you know, that protect, because you know, your rights underneath those water supply are very important. But back to the county, the interesting thing, because it was on Friday then, right before the posting of the agenda, but I needed to give all the board members a call, and I needed to give the CAO a call, because I needed to talk to them about, you know, what was up, and it wouldn't be appropriate if they were surprised in opening up the newspaper on Saturday morning. The reactions of board members in terms of maybe seeing me walk away and then talking about what does it mean for the Public Works Department and what does it mean for the county, because they immediately start thinking about what are we going to do, what is the county going to do. So that was an expected reaction for them. But the other reaction, you know, and, well, in that reaction, there's a little bit of a, you know, we all have a sense of loss. I'll feel loss in leaving if, in fact, I get the letter.
Well, the only, the follow-up is, you know, there was a little a bug got put in the ear that you were sent down here to sell away our water.
Yeah.
That he was being put down here to sell away our water, and I want to state first of all that that no member from the county has been involved in this at all. I've only heard after Friday when our agenda went up did I only hear from one person from the county, one supervisor, and that was it. I haven't heard from any prior to or any others since then. And that was the feedback I got, was that this would be very positive for Oceano, that. It would bring a lot of stability. I have heard from Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Los Osos, Pismo, and Pomo's here in support this evening. I'm trying to think if I've heard. Oh, and the Port Harbor District, that they all thought that this was a very good thing for Oceano and putting the house back together. So, but anyway, that what the question was, and probably the strangest interview we've ever had in our entire lives. But the question was, is you know, and I think I was speaking for myself there. There's no effort to sell away the water. And would you agree with that?
That's right. There's no plan to sell away the water. I think that the distinction of selling water on a short-term basis versus selling water on a long-term basis needs to be recognized. On the State Water Project, for the first time in history last year, the DWR approved the sale between agencies in a non-emergency situation. And the evaluation of, you know, the different supplies, the reliability of the different supplies, what short-term, medium-term, and long-term demand is important, because if there's temporary water sales that can happen and help bring in revenue, then yeah, I do strongly believe that that should be considered. But that's separate from selling water on a permanent basis.
I have one other question.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Do you plan to reactivate your CPA license?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. My concern is because I don't know if you, I'm sure you're aware, but the to reactivate it, you need 80 hours of continuing education if you haven't had any in the last 2 years. But do you expect the district to bear that?
No.
Okay. In time or in paying for it?
No, that's me. You know, technically, those typically aren't a requirement of a job. Even if you wanted to make it a requirement of a job, that's fine with me because that's my intent. But, yeah, 80 hours of continuing education. I'm within 6 months of my normal renewal date anyhow, so it's purely the 80 hours. If you're outside the six-month period, you might have to do more once, you know, because the renewal would be this October. But anyways, 80 hours of continuing education with specific studies and specific subject matter, and then the where I have electives, then I'll focus in on, you know, the things that make sense for the district. But I definitely, you know, part of the motivation here also for me is that the work that I would be doing for you makes sense for me to reactivate my license as well. But it making sense to me, that's my, you know, obligation, and certainly it's my intent to have most of that 80 hours, if not all of the 80 hours, done before I would even start. So, you know, I've already been there looking at the CPE stuff, looking at the requirements, and starting to plot through which 80 hours I want to target. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Lori, anything else? Mary, anything else? Karen?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, thank you, Pavel. We'll move to board deliberations at this point. I think I started with Lori last time, so why don't I go to the other end of the table and start with Karen, if you have any comments.
We've wasted a lot of money and spent a lot of really honest time and effort looking for managers. It would cost us much more to find somebody from outside the area who needed 6 months of experience and training and then another year before they were effective in representing us. And I think we have so much unfinished business about our water and about...
I'm very cautious with my own money, and I try to be cautious with other people's money as well. And it was only the threat of having to raise the rates that somehow got tied into this issue. And of course, at some point, we're going to have to raise the rates, but we're not going to have to raise them as quickly, because I see that wasn't listed as cost savings is that we are paying the benefits for one employee, not two employees, which I can't even begin to think what the difference in cost would be there. We would not have to put out $20K on just working on a strategic plan 101, which we would come in at probably about $20K for someone to do that. We are looking at probably $40,000 savings in people who could possibly spend all day long on the internet mining it for grants. We'd probably save $70,000 in master plans. I know we can save $50,000 looking at the Northern Cities management godfathers or whatever they are. With taking those savings from the water fund, we've in a state of panic, and I say panic or being misled or lied to or whatever it was called, we were convinced that a new jetter was needed and that we would borrow it for the from the sewer fund and put it over into the water fund. But 100% of that jetter is used in the sewer fund, and it needs to be put back over into the sewer fund and pulled out of the water fund. And so that, too, would be a savings, because the more lines that get cleaned with that jetter, the more we will stop losing some of our assets through bad pipes and stuff. On the other hand, by doing the maintenance, we're losing over 100 acre feet on leaky pipes a year right now. And that's a lot of water. And so those costs can be put into the field. And so those are some of the things, not to mention our 33 1/3% of the sand district's revenue that would come over. So those are a couple things that weren't listed as cost savings or, I guess, emphasized as strongly. So I you know, as a board, as people who just care about this little community, we moved in here 15 years ago. You know, I like the sand. You know, I like it here. I like the people here. And so I look at it as we've tried every single angle. We've tried to be as transparent as possible.
We've tried to include as many people as possible. We've done it this person's way, that person's ways. We've done an interior review, exterior reviews. We've hired professional reviewers. And what we've gotten is we've gotten liars, thieves, people who can't write, people who know how to plagiarize somebody else's stuff, you know, people who lie about their own contracts, people who can't write a report. And it's not just us as board members who are doing that, but it's the community. And every time we fail at putting a leader in here, it costs us all who live here. So I see it as an investment in the future, and I see it only getting better. And I look to say, why would I, in coming from the city of Los Angeles, why would I give up supervising 180 employees down to 6? I would have loved to get rid of my 40 employees. I'm sorry. I loved every single one of them. They were wonderful people. But I'll tell you what, I did not miss them. It's a hard job to supervise that many people to keep them on track. So that would be one incentive for me personally. And also, too, is that we get it to a point in our careers where we want one of our last projects to be our best projects. And knowing that Oceano has a soft spot in this qualified man's heart tells me that he wants it to be the shining diamond of his career. And I want it to be the shining diamond of the Central Coast. You know, and it's a small price to pay for all these qualifications, but it's a small price to pay to know that it's going to happen this time, that I don't have to guess, that I don't have to wonder where the person's lying to me, whether they stole from us.
A variety of people that's willing to come in here and take the bull by the horns and get us straightened out and get us on the right track. We have in the past thought we might have had that. Obviously, we didn't, but I think Mr. Ogren is the most qualified person we've ever even had inquire. So I have 100% support for him. I think he can help us. I think he can put us on the right track. I think we'll be in so much better shape in a year even. 18 months, I'll be happy with that. But it's time. We have got to make a big change to make things work. I don't want this community to go down the tubes any further than it already has. You know, we've all tried, we've worked hard, and I think it's time we step up to the plate. So I'm for it.
Ms. Blackburn?
I definitely see the benefits of having Mr. Ogren here. He has, I believe that the district would be able to get on track, that he would bring stability, best practices back. His breadth of knowledge is immense. And I think that he would help improve relationships with surrounding agencies. We could collaborate and communicate our limitations. I think we would have reduced fees in some areas as well. But I also have to look at the numbers of the budget. And Jeff, can you tell me what the total benefit of our past GM and our past accountant would be, please?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Director Blackburn, So just so I'm clear, you want to understand? Would you rephrase it just
yeah,
so I'm
sure.
clear?
I'm curious what I understand the salary for our past general manager was $126,000. Do you have his total benefit package?
Yes, I do. The past general manager past general manager at $126,000 was a total compensation package of $176,000.
And
actually, yeah. I'm sorry. What I did is I didn't calculate the PERS contribution is slightly different.
Okay.
176,000 would be considered a like by like comparison if you hired somebody coming in at the same tier.
Okay. So with the PERS that the past GM was receiving, I think it was about 165,000.
That's yes, you're probably right there. Yeah.
But he didn't walk out the door with that much.
No.
No.
That's looking at
the total
benefit of that includes car allowance, that includes pension, includes the contributions and taxes, insurance,
right.
Everything. It's a lot of those are things that you're going to play with any general manager, any employee. That's
right. Okay.
How much did he cost us in damage control?
Do you have the accountant position as well?
Yes, the accountant was, and again, at a full-time accountant position, it was about
$95,000.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead.
That was with the it increased PERS as well?
Yes.
And full-time.
And the reason is I think that, to be fair, it's difficult is when you're hiring people in it, when you're comparing apples to apples, you have to kind of consider that they come in at the same PERS table, because it's difficult to know whether you're going to pull in an accountant who's not worked for an agency before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I think that with from what I understand, though, and remembering, I have to look at what was budgeted for last year, though, for our GM and our accountant, and I believe that both of those. I have that problem. I believe that we should continue negotiating. I think that the severance package is more than we can afford. If something happens and we do need to let him go, we cannot afford to pay his severance package and continue with finding somebody else to be a GM. And not that I would expect that to happen. I don't believe that it would, but we have to protect ourselves, and that is something that I do see as being an issue. The other thing that I would like to continue talking about is the automatic raises, because we can't control the future, and we don't know if the drought will continue or if we will have more rain or what the situation will be, and so I don't think that those should be included as part of the agreement. So those are my concerns.
Thank you. I was just sitting here thinking. I was listening to everybody tonight and remembering how I got to Oceano and late '99. I had graduated from school and I was looking for work, and I landed in Santa Maria, living on my credit card, and I had $600 in the bank. I had enough to make one last credit card payment and 1 month's rent. That was all I had. And every tank of gas, every time I went out to eat, it was on the credit card. And so I remember, and I was looking for work at the time, and I remember very clearly, it took me like 3 years to pay the credit card off, very clearly what it was like to have a lot less than I have now, and I've been very, very fortunate. But, everybody has family members that are on all sides of the rainbow of the spectrum of income, and I do know what that's like. My mother was a single mother, and we got until she remarried, we got food stamps and everything that came with it. But there's so my commitment to the community. We moved to Oceano because my wife still worked in Santa Maria, and I would work in San Luis Obispo, and we put down our roots. We've been here over 10 years. We care about this community, and I care about all the people in the community. I run a business in the community. I have one of the highest water bills, except for the trailer parks. I think, well, I can't identify. There's one person who has a higher water bill than me. And so I'm sensitive to any potential rate increases. My customers would receive that. I'm very sensitive to it. But I also recognize, as running that business, and my wife has a business, and then my law practice, you have to make investments, and you have to make investments in a capital structure, and you have to invest in the community. Because if you don't, we'll continue what we're doing. And what we're doing is we're slowly losing altitude. When I joined this board in 2011, we brought on Mr. Gieselin, and for a significant period of time, we worked very hard, and we got it out of the tailspin. And this district was saved. The joke was that we didn't have enough money to go bankrupt. And we didn't have audits done. We had a computer we didn't get up and running for 3 years for our accounting system. And that was just, that's not the way to run a business. It's not the way to run a district. And I think that people and the ratepayers, I hear you. They want accountability, and they want it to be fiscally prudent. And I think everybody who's come and everybody that knows, and we talked about the sanitation plant, even though that's a different district, you have seen what oversight can do. And we went from losing sometimes $750,000 per year to now we're running in the black. And that's without significant hit, if any hit, to the ratepayers. Of course, the issue there is going to be to preserving our resources, and that's the water that goes out the outfall. But those reserves were dwindling by almost $1 million a year, and they're not. Now they're being contributed to. I used to have to do the money transfers from Sacramento because that was a reserve account. I haven't had to do that in probably 6 months, and the plant is running cleaner. It cost a lot of money. We brought in the Sweeneys. It costs $16,000 a month just for the Sweeneys to go in and look at the plant. And the plant's turning out a better product and costing less money because we spent money. And so that was bringing in the know-how. Vice President Lucy talked about the different processes that we've gone through in the past to try to hire particular people. We set up best practices last time. I brought in an outside committee. Me and the board. It wasn't just me. I'm not even the one that set it up, but I was part of it. We brought in outside committee. We brought in outside city managers. We brought in people that there's been this this recurring theme that has gone on, and this recurring theme has been one of Oceano not being an equal partner at the table, and that's not acceptable. I don't care who my constituents are. I think that their voice should be treated the same as anybody else's from Memorial Grande, anybody else's from Grover, anybody else's from Pismo, or anybody from Napomo. And this hire would bring a lot of credibility in that respect. Everybody knows. There were some questions about why Mr. Paavo Ogren would leave the county. I think that's irrelevant. I think that Ms. Lucy is right, that this Oceano is potentially a diamond in the rough, that it could be the crown jewel of the coast. A developer was poking fun at me one day, and he says, you know, Oceano's great because it's the only place where you can get, the closer you get to the coast, the cheaper the land gets. And so... One of the things that happened last summer was when Gary Keefe was here, and he was also very expensive, but when Gary Keefe was here, he showed us how to do it, and he gave us a real study of best practices that I think was important. That was our vision in our head. He helped us identify and develop our own understandings as a board, as our needs. And I think it was Ms. White that said we're running out of time. And I don't want to be desperate. I don't want to make it seem like we're making a desperate move. But
because it doesn't feel that way to me at all. But I think that we have a unique opportunity here to do something for the community, recognizing that we all live in this community and care about this community.
I would like to challenge Jennifer, my friend. She's looking at things from one view, and that's dollars and cents, and I praise her for that. But I don't think you can say he'll pay for himself for a year and a half or 2 years, and then what is he going to do for us? Because we can't look into the future. We don't know what the next 2 or 3 years are going to bring. And it may bring a lot of things that we don't even know are going to happen yet. We could be faced with massive development. I mean, we do have a beach down there. We have, there's all kinds of pieces of property. Massive drought, massive flooding, massive development. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 3 years? So I don't think I would say that, well, it'll be this much or this much. We either grab the really good chance we have. It was less than a year ago we went through 51 applications looking for a manager. And we had this whole lengthy, costly process. Did us no good. So, you know, I grab what we got that we know is good and let him figure out how to pay for himself.
May I say one thing? I think that might just help clarify a certain issue. Would that be okay? I know that Director Blackburn, you brought up the concerns about the severance issue and then the term. I think looking at those, and I will tell you, I think it's kind of a product of the circumstance of where Mr. Ogren is in his current career, where he is about 4 years away from retirement. And for him to, through the process of us negotiating these contract terms, I think that he is seeking to have the security to not lose that at the very end of his career. And I think the severance pays into that same thing, that if you fired him without cause tomorrow, then he has time to figure out what he's going to do for the next 3 years. So I think on those, although there was discussion about the negotiation of terms, those are very... those are terms where he has been very steadfast because of that circumstance he's in. So, for what that's worth.
If it's time, I would make a motion.
Let's see if there's any other comment. Oh, on board discussion.
I think that Mr. Ogren brought up the fact that he had a heart for the community, and I think that although he may not have known the specific numbers, is aware of the general situation of Oceano, and that's why I think that he may be open to negotiation.
We can ask him. Do you want to ask him, Jen?
Well, I kind of already did.
All right. So I guess we'll turn to Paavo then. And I guess the question was whether or not this is open to negotiations, or if you feel that this was the contract that... I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Sure. One of the things that I heard was that the subsequent raises were automatic, and that's not quite correct.
That's right.
It's based on a performance evaluation. I was thinking about that last night because it says a satisfactory performance evaluation. I would definitely be open to changing that to meets or exceeds expectations, because, you know, in recognizing that you have great expectations of me, it's your board's judgment as to what those expectations are, and after a year and after 2 years, it's totally your discretion as to whether, you know, I meet or exceed your expectations. I never intended those to be automatic raises, maybe the meets or exceeds expectations would be better language in the contract there. Regarding, you know, the basic salary number, no, because that would end up, you know, putting me in a negative situation from where I'm at right now. You know, on the severance issue, you know, clearly if I can't do the job, you have the ability to terminate me for cause, and I don't have any severance. And one of the challenges here, and, you know, Mr. Minery spoke to it, it's not the security because I'm insecure, but we have seen in many special districts where there's recalls, and there's quick changes in political makeup. And that's really, it has nothing to do with the existing board. Obviously, these deliberations are great deliberations. But it's protecting against that unknown political risk, whether it's a recall, and that's happened and destroyed a local community here, or whether it's the, you know, normal changeover in election. So I think the four-year term is appropriate. It happens to match the term that people typically are elected to. It also matches the term that by statute county council is limited to. When the Board of Supervisors hires county council, it can't exceed a four-year term. So not that it's a lot of satisfaction, maybe, but you know, changing that language from satisfactory evaluation to a meets or exceed expectations, I certainly would be agreeable to that. And my last comment is, obviously, I don't want to fail. I want to live up to all the expectations of the board, and I'm not going to, you know, if it doesn't go well, then I'm not going to sit around either. You know, I'm going to go and figure out something else that is going to work better. So, you know, I can understand in reading a contract why some of those things are a little bit unsettling, but I hope your board at the same time would understand that, you know, walking into a situation that's, you know, shown some challenges in the past and understanding that the risk is really a political risk, I think that, you know, protections are appropriate.
I too thought about the time limit, and if it was me going into a situation, I would want a 4-year commitment. But also too is that most employee contracts are kind of, you know, they're kind of written up for the scope of work and what future projects will hold. And trust me, there's enough work for all of us for 4 years and then some. So it's not just one person taking a risk and then saying, oh, well, it didn't work out. Pay me my 4 years and I'm out of here. No. It's us, too. Because we will be in the middle of everything. We will be in the eye of the storm in 2 years. And if we want to move forward, it's going to take at minimum 4 years. You know, people talk about having those shovel-ready projects on the shelf ready to go when funding is released and things like that. That doesn't happen in 2 years. Not when you have five powers, not when you have multiple infrastructure issues. They're consistent, ongoing, and that's what happens. You get to a point
of more than anything else on how long he can continue to work under this particular contract. It's a ceiling as much as a floor,
right,
in that regard. And the true, because he's still an at-will employee, can be terminated at any time. If he's terminated for cause, he doesn't get severance. If he resigns, he doesn't get severance. It's only termination,
right,
without cause during that 4-year period. And as I said before, in the final year, it's not an entire year. It depends on where in that final year.
Right.
So the risk does decline as far as that without cause termination.
And with that, just on another note, too, is that for the loyal, committed, dedicated, you know, people who work in the office and out of the office, because I think they're of equal importance to all of us, right? They deserve leadership. They deserve to have somebody be able to say, look, you have your, you want to be the GM in the future, you want to be the director in the future, then I'm going to help you to get there. So it's really giving us back our future, because when we have a good employee trained leader in place, you know, the staff has somebody to look to. What they have to look to right now is they don't, admin has it a little better, but the water guys and the sewer guys, you know, they're the ones that are hurting by not having this knowledge base on staff for them. And I think they deserve it.
Follow up. I did receive, and I think there's already, they were already made available to the public. There were a couple of emails that came. We'll attach those to the.
Trust me, Bell was way more than $200,000.
Who was?
Bell, the city of Bell.
They were spending $800,000
per. County, it was a city.
They were. We did receive from Ben DeFada an email, and we also received from Lindy Owen an email. We'll attach those. And then I will also attach the one I received from Doug Groschart, encouraging us to hire Mr. Ogren, wholeheartedly supporting that. We will include Ms. Tacker's this isn't a rant. This is, I don't know what you call this. This is a chart of some sort of comparison. It does have, you know, it mislists the Oceano CSD amount, but anyway, I will note that the Nipomo CSD is, we would be 17% above that, would be our payment. So,
I should note that both the two people that sent the letters are from Los Osos.
I did note that.
Yes.
I didn't note that on the record, but they were both from Los Osos.
Yeah. Correct.
Matt, may I have 2 cents worth to put in? You all know I'm part of the staff, and I'm the oldest person that works for the district. This is probably going to be my last job. But I've grown up on the Central Coast. I was born in Santa Maria. I grew up in Arroyo Grande. I've lived in Morro Bay for the last 45 years. And I've watched Morro Bay with all their pain and their suffering. And I'm watching Oceano go through a lot of the same thing that Morro Bay has gone through in the last 45 years that I've lived there. But one of the things that I would like to say is that in the not quite 3 years that I've been working here, I've seen some financial decisions made that have cost this district in excess of $300,000. That will go a long way towards paying someone who really knows what the job is. When you all brought Gary Keefe in, we were trying to figure out how we could kidnap him and keep him here. He has all that expertise that this district needs. And from what I've seen on the Ogren, it sounds to me and looks to me like he also has that kind of history and knowledge that I think that this district needs. So will it cost the district? Absolutely, it will. But I think in the long run, it's going to save the district even more than it costs you. So, and, you know, the staff will work to their very best ability to help make it all happen. But we need good, strong leadership in order to do it. And we need the knowledge. And that's what's been missing in the general manager. So it sounds like he has it. But we all do expect him to walk on water and move mountains. So, you know, that's a lot. So.
It would probably make more sense if you made a kind of a two-part motion, one to appoint Mr. Ogren and to approve the contract that is before the board. But my question is, are we changing any language in it, like in regards to the meets or exceeds? Do we putting that in?
Yeah, meets or exceeds, is that okay with you, Jennifer?
That's under section 5.
Yeah.
It's 5B.
It's here somewhere.
I have a note of it.
Okay. There. Would you like me to try again? It's getting pretty late.
So just so I'm clear, for the purposes of this motion, you're making a motion that they approve the contract with the change to the meets or exceeds language in 5B.
Yes.
Okay. And I will point out one thing is that there currently is not an effective date of the contract that you're making the motion on for Director White. Assuming you're going to approve this, I would direct legal counsel to coordinate with Mr. Ogren as far as what the effective date would be. That would be because the effective date would be his start date. And I don't know that Mr. Ogren is ready to determine that, but we're talking sometime in July. Is that what you were thinking? You don't have to pick an exact date now.
Legal counsel, I would like. Are we in the middle of a motion, or is it?
I'm trying to.
On
I'm.
Hold.
Please clarify.
I'm trying to clarify the motion so I know what contract it is.
If we had one on the floor, this couldn't be going on, buddy.
No, I'm trying. I'm trying to clarify Director White's motion so that we understand what you're voting on.
Sometime in July. I have under my existing contract with the county, I have a minimum 30-day notice requirement, and then if your board moves in this direction, there's also some other procedural, like I have an insurance requirement, I have to take care of that, I have to make sure I can get bonded.
Bonding is at the discretion of the board.
Okay.
So,
but some of those details need to be taken care of, and then I need to provide a 30 days notice, and so I'm thinking, early, mid-July.
So that would be something that you direct us to fill in after the fact?
Yes, and I would direct that you fill that date in, hopefully in as soon as possible.
Yes.
In July sometime.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt your motion. I just wanted to clarify the contract.
Do we need to restate it? Start all over again? Okay. I would like to make a motion that we appoint Pavel Ogren as general manager for the Oceana Community Services District, and we approve his contract as amended to begin sometime in July.
That's fine.
Second. I'd like to second that.
We have a motion and a second. We'll take a roll call vote, Marie.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
No.
President Guerrero?
Yes. The motion carries 4-1. I think we'll direct legal counsel. Move on to item number 10.
Now my grandkids are going to be bringing their little kids here.
We'll move on to item 10B. Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Hey, Matt, why don't you make a quick motion to carry on past 9:30?
And I'll make a motion to carry on past 9:30. All right, now we'll break till 10:05. We'll call this meeting back to session. All board members are present. Marie McGrath is present. Jeff Minery is present. So the item that we're on now is item 10B, Jetter Board, to consider options for sale of current Jetter and or purchase Vactor truck. There was a staff report that came from a committee discussion. I understand that the summary was from the proposed minutes for that particular Water and Sewer Committee. Jen, do you want to weigh in on this? Were you on this committee?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's why I was asking you to weigh in on it.
Yes. Director Lucy and I had, and staff had been discussing what our options were for the Jetter and whether or not we stick with it and buy a truck to pull the one we have and so that we can stop spending $1,700 a month renting one, or to surplus it and buy a Vactor.
I don't think so, because the sewer had money, and when we had the discussion with Gary Keefe, we took it straight out of the sewer because we had reserves. Is that right,
Mary? If it's 100% coming out of sewer and not a loan from water,
No,
your mic or something.
It came straight out of the sewer, Mary.
Okay, because I thought there was a loan that was going to kick in with the 3.4% interest.
No, that was the loan from sewer to water, the sewer to water fund that we have.
Yes.
That's right, from sewer to water. And I'm saying, no, it was a loan from the water, from sewer into water.
Correct.
And that the jetter is being used for sewer.
Correct.
And it has to be put back into the sewer fund.
But all of the payment for the jetter, remember we paid it off, it's paid free and clear, was done out of sewer.
Yes.
Okay. If it was done out of sewer, then that's fine. I just want it billed into the right category, everything about it.
And my understanding is that the staff time involved is being billed to sewer. Correct, Tony?
Yes.
He's in agreement.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So I was only confused on the funding of the thing. Okay.
Well, are we going to consider switching around, or are we going to just stay with what we've got now? I mean, it's kind of, I don't think there's a hard recommendation anywhere from somebody, is there?
What I think our weakness is I think what Mary is alluding to is the things that surround it, and I think their weakness is the truck.
Yeah.
And so when we initially got it, we bought the 550, which that Ford F-550, which needs some repairs. It was unable to tow this particular jetter. An option would be to get it up to speed. I think it's a transmission, and there's some front-end damage on it. But I don't know if it could be got up to speed for $10,000. I mean, I don't know what it would cost.
I think it's got more problems than that.
Okay. Well, these things happen sometimes.
It doesn't have the power.
No. Well, I thought it. Am I wrong, Tony? Does it have the power, but the transmission wasn't holding up?
And it needed rear airbags.
Your microphone's off.
I'm not a mechanic, but what it feels like to me from my experiences in life, you're looking at maybe a torque converter, transmission issue. It is gas. Mm-hmm. So it will not have the torque as a diesel does, plain and simple.
Is it worth taking it over to Mulahy Ford and get an estimate?
We actually approached them about that vehicle when it was first purchased, and they recommended not going forth with retrofitting that truck or inspecting it to get it, because the gross vehicle weight of pulling that trailer, it's right at the limit, they said.
Sounds like we need to surplus that truck and look for another option.
Can the truck be used in the field?
We currently use it as our sewer lateral truck. Any issues with sewer laterals, it's stocked up with our snake, our video equipment. That's how we utilize that truck currently.
Is it useful? Do you see it with a continuing use, or is it something we should surplus, in your opinion?
It depends. If we surplus that vehicle and go the route of getting a vehicle to tow that jetter, I would recommend getting rid of it, because we could purchase a vehicle that can do that job and the trailer. It's less maintenance, having one vehicle, possibly have a dump bed so we could haul our road plates instead of how we do it now. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have to purchase a trailer. There's a lot of different options.
We could take it back to the auction house.
I thought it was a good idea.
Don't beat yourself up.
Hey, I was with you on that.
Don't beat yourself up. It's okay.
Hey, do what we can.
How much do you think a truck would be to pull the jetter? Just ballpark if you have one.
Age, how new, you know, we can go anywhere from, we've looked at F-350s in the past, to F-450s, to F-550s, you know, we've looked at multiple vehicles, and we've seen anywhere from 40 on up to 85.
Which kind of vehicle do you need? I mean,
one that can pull 14,000 pounds and stop.
And stop?
And it has to be able to stop.
And start on hills, too.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty wide range between a 350
correct.
And a 650 or a 550.
Well, I think that can probably depend on getting newer used and what options you have for a dump bed versus service
body. There's a lot of different options. What are we going to look at? What's going to best suit the CSD? Can we utilize it more than just towing the trailer?
Can we 15-year-old vehicles
that
are industrial use that may be on a public comment. Hang on a second, Craig. Like fire trucks usually have like a 12-year lifespan. This is a vehicle that's similar to a fire truck with pumps, a tank, a big heavy diesel engine.
That's correct.
May be buying something that needs a lot of service is my concern.
And that's the other concern you've got to consider.
There's no warranty on it.
We stick with a trailer that was brand new purchased by us, that's still under warranty, and we go after a vehicle. Worst case scenarios, if a severe main break happens and we can't excavate quick enough, there might be those occasions we might have to call in a backer.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
You know, that is a possibility.
Casey and that trailer are going to grow old together.
Lori and Mary Lucy both seen what a backer did on a 4-inch main break. And it still did 3 trips dumping because the debris tank, you know, is 5 yards compared to our 500 gallons. So there is cases that we might have to call for another agency on a severe break.
Okay, so the jetter, is there any problems we have with it?
You see the capabilities and limitations are listed.
Smaller line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't know if we had had any issues with parts replacement or...
No, they've been very supportive. They're sending us replacement parts as things are breaking.
And it's brand new.
As things are breaking.
How long is our warranty on it? Can we purchase a longer one?
We looked at an extended warranty. There's no extended warranty.
And it has 10 months left on it?
Roughly, yes.
So would it be a value to keep the truck and use it in the field and get a new truck that can handle the backer situation?
Absolutely. There's a value to both options.
I mean, we're not going to get much of a return if we surplus that truck. Will we get more use out of it, keeping it and using it to service and going and getting a truck or
get our $3,000 out of that bad truck? I mean, the word keeping as a field truck.
You know, I would discuss that with my field staff on that one.
What's your biggest back recommendation? Because the truck you're using, that's a big, you know, I don't know if we could buy something like that, the one we're renting. I don't know what it would cost. I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
I mean...
You wouldn't need a Peterbilt.
The rental that Casey's been driving around?
That's not a problem to get quotes on vehicles that are capable with different options, and I can present that to you. That's what we're looking for is a recommendation. How do you want me to approach this one? You want me to turn around and see what the trailer can sell and what it does sell for? Do you want me to turn around and just look for vehicles to pull the trailer? What options would you like me to approach?
Why would we consider that? Why don't we take public comment on it?
He's waiting.
And get Craig's because
he wants to give you his comment.
Craig's got some experience with trucks, I think. So.
I'll give you that.
Craig Angelo Oceano.
Exactly. We just had to put together a vehicle that's capable of all that, and for a failed grant from State Parks. But on state bid, you can get a Dodge 5500, which is equivalent to the 550. F-550. Has the same towing, GVRW, everything as an F-550. Diesel, crew cab and chassis, no bed. And I want to say it was right around $40,000 on state bid. We did purchase earlier at the fire department I believe it's a half-ton truck that we turned into a battalion tree vehicle, and it was $23,000 for a four-wheel drive truck. I'd be more than happy to get these guys the information. You literally call up to Sacramento and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Do you have it on state bid? They run through. They say, yeah, what options do you want? Do you want vinyl? Do you want the... And it's super, super cheap. a typical one-ton truck that you go buy off the lot, you're looking at anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000, where this is much bigger, much better, and it's a diesel motor. It's got the new technology. It'll be under warranty, and it's roughly around $40,000.
Well, what I think we ought to do is tell Tony and Craig to go to lunch.
I'll buy.
All right, Lori's buying. No, but to come back with some sort of recommendation. I mean, because personally, we've got this brand new Vector. It's a known quantity. If I buy one of these 10 or 12 year old trucks, and it's not California emissions,
yeah,
it's the pump goes out on it. It needs tires. I mean, you're probably talking, Craig would probably know better than me, but you're probably talking $4,000.
I would have a thought about all this.
we'll take it as public comment.
I think Tony had a couple different options, and to evaluate all those options, really.
Yeah.
You know, there sound like there's about three different ones.
I do too.
There's one item on the con list that should be on there that's not on there, and it's something that Gary brought to our attention when we were in the process of getting that jetter, and that's the fact that in 2017 it will no longer be compliant with the Air Pollution Control Board.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's probably going to end up in the junk pile. Where do they go? I mean, can you use it after that?
People will buy them, and then they take them out of the country.
And go to Mexico.
Because I had
Canada.
A caterpillar that went that way.
Okay. But I think that's something that needs to be put in the mix in the decision-making process.
Yeah.
We might
but
find out
that, far away.
That the surplusing of the value of it, with that is just not there.
So this kind of shows you how important your guys' input, since you guys are dealing with it day to day, we really look to you guys to tell us what the right thing is to do.
Right.
And how what best suits the yard and your jobs.
Absolutely.
Because we don't want to make it harder for you if we can.
No, absolutely, I agree.
Okay.
And I look to the rest of the crew also to give me information.
You guys are working with it, so
no,
you have the most valuable thing.
And then we'll bring it back to you.
You let us know what you want and how we're going to get there, and we'll do it.
Sounds good.
What is a new Vector truck, about $350?
They're anywhere from $250,000 to $350,000.
I don't think that's an option.
No.
Not yet.
Would the trailer be worn out by...
It might be
2017, the rate they're using.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Okay, so we'll carry this on in subcommittee, right?
You guys can bring it back when you see it, when it's time. Why don't we go on then to items 13 and 14, late received and received written communications. There's none. I forgot to bring you guys. There's a proposed marine life sanctuary. I will get that this for around here. I will get that and put it in your boxes so each everybody
marine
can look at it.
Marine life for around here?
Yeah. Because there's, I'm going to mess up the boundaries of it, but there's one that goes from about Monterey north.
North, yeah.
And then there's one south of us, which I think is Santa Barbara.
Probably.
South.
Yeah.
And we're this gap in between where there's not one. And so they want to close the gap and make this the marine life sanctuary. And I do have some paperwork on that, and I apologize for not getting it
would
to you guys.
Would that ban fishing?
No, it would change the fishing dynamics, though, I understand, because they would have to go to, like, longline fishing and do different types rather than... The netting?
Gill net.
Yeah, rather than gill net.
What about
sports fishing?
No.
I don't think it changes any of that.
Oh.
And I think what they see in other communities is that the fish populations go up, but that's probably largely or partially because of the less efficient fishing methods that go along with it. So.
I also, too, had some correspondence that came to me and Lori and Tony, which was the Northern Cities Management, they've now become lobbyists for the entities that choose, but they have sent us on letters requesting that the Board of Directors declare surplus be distributed through Public Works at the county, basically, and that they want to change the definition of surplus to whatever fits their needs. But I'll bring that. I'll get that over to you ASAP, Marine, or Jeff. And if we could get that out, that
well,
would be...
Well, we've already made our decision on that.
Who's we? No, surplus.
Yeah, we said we went that we're against
Was that the letter?
Surplus.
Yeah. But this is about signing on to the Northern Cities letters. Okay. So then, but I did get a correspondence.
On future agenda items, of course, budget is coming right up. I don't think we're going to have the pro forma done, given the difficulties we've had over the last 6 months. My suggestion is that, I'm thinking on the spot here, though, that Ms. Blackburn and I meet next Monday for a finance committee meeting. It'll have to be early because I have an appointment in the afternoon, so maybe like what time works for you on Monday?
Whenever will be fine.
Okay, so whenever on Monday?
9?
Are you? How about 9 a.m.? I'll drop kids off.
Are you calling a finance meeting for next?
Yeah, we're going to call a finance committee meeting to work on the draft budget. And then for the, hopefully we'll be able to bring something back for the board to start considering at the next board meeting.
So are you saying at 9 o'clock on Monday, Matt?
Yeah, and that would be the 16th, right? 17th? No. I'm looking at the wrong month. 19th.
14th. 15th,
Monday the 19th. At, 19th. It's, is that a holiday for you?
I don't think
it's red on the calendar.